afternoon, and welcome to Friday. It's Brian Noonan on 720 WGN in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVontes. We will be back with you on Monday. Oh, my goodness. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and are enjoying your Friday, whether you're shopping or just hanging around in your sweatpants, looking at your belly going, how did I jam that much food into it yesterday? We're glad you're with us. Big show planned. Always more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text. When you call in, you'll be talking to Kasara Heining. She is executive producing today's big broadcast. If you're nice to her, you get to me. The rules are simple. The crew is assembled. Violetta is back, having worked a holiday. She was with us yesterday. And then Bob Kessler's in the newsroom, and Sam Panionovich is doing sports today. Oh, man, what a crew.
Holiday crew.
The holiday crew is back and ready for action. We are we're excited. Sam has already broken up. Violetta, there's already drinks down here.
I'm ready.
I know usually on Friday, Ro and Anna wait till after 5 to roll out the Carnarvon wagon. But you know what? It's a holiday weekend, so we rolled out the Carnarvon wagon at 3:10.
And you guys are more fun. Well, just kidding. Don't tell anyone I said that.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I'm sure nobody heard that.
That was the quickest take back in the history
of
takebacks.
Yeah, really? Wow. Because all of a sudden, Violetta saw her future flash before her eyes. I was like, no. Do I want to align myself? Don't hitch your wagon to this star, Violetta.
We will do a lot less Trump impersonations, though.
Yes. But we will yell about John Fox at some point. We do have a Carnarvon wagon coming in at 5 o'clock, of course, then the top 5 at 5. And a great musical act, Todd Kessler, will be in the studio with us. I don't think any relation to our own newsman, Bob.
I don't think so. But he and I will have to. I left my genealogy book at home.
Right. This is not like
the Blue Ridge.
This is not like Garth Brooks, where you're doing another personality, right?
No. Or Bowie.
This is just you. Okay. Well, all right. We'll go with Bowie.
He shows up with a banana nose. Hey.
Yeah, Bob Flava Flav Kessler, just coming on down. No, so that's happening. We're going to talk to Janae Norman from ABC News in just a few minutes to talk about this Michael Flynn deal, where suddenly they're not sharing information with the president's lawyers anymore, which is leading to some speculation about perhaps that Flynn is starting to cooperate with Robert Mueller's Russia probe. So we'll do that. We're going to talk a little bit about Black Friday. And for all you people who like to indulge in the herb, there is a new restaurant coming to town, a cannabis-infused restaurant. And we will talk to Chef Manny Mendoza, who is from right here in Chicago. He's from the Pilsen neighborhood, and he's heading up this whole thing where you can go and enjoy. Well, we'll find out all about it. I don't understand it, but we will find out all about that. So lots to get to. So, Sam, why the mimosas? Because usually mimosas are for brunch, but now mimosas are for 3 in the afternoon.
We've done this 4 or 5 shifts in a row on holidays, so I don't like to change a good thing.
No.
There's room in my stomach. I only gained 3 pounds yesterday.
Is that right?
So there's room for the bubbly.
There was not a chance in hell I was getting on the scale today.
I do it when I wake up, and then I do it when I get home.
Oh, really?
Every Thanksgiving.
See, I can't.
Only 3. I wasn't a glutton yesterday.
That's not bad, 3 pounds.
Not bad.
But you figure if you gain 3 pounds every day, that would not be good.
I don't eat like that every day.
I know, who does? Violetta, did you get your dinner last night? You got to your folks' restaurant. You said they were going to be working, that you weren't sure if you were going to have to work for your dinner. Did they feed you?
They did feed me, and I didn't work. So it was good.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
And Bob, you enjoyed yourself? Bob's busy doing newsy stuff.
Bob's so putting his new costume on.
Was your grandma there? Did your grandma stay up late, Violetta?
My grandma, yeah, she stayed up late. We had some turkey. The turkey was really good this year. It was, like, moist. It wasn't dry. Not that my mom ever does dry turkey, but...
Boy, you're throwing everybody under the bus today. First, it's the usual team. Threw them under the bus, quickly backpedaled. Now you're kind of throwing
your mom
under
the bus. Well, she's improving. It's very good.
Turkey can be tricky.
Yeah.
Because it can go dry very fast, as evidenced by National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I'm sure everybody's seen that scene where they cut the turkey and it... So my brother made 2 turkeys. He did a smoked turkey and a roasted turkey. Both were delicious, even though I got there after everybody had finished their meal, which was great because... I love my nieces, who range in age from 6 down to 2, but they are the loudest human beings on the face of the planet. So I was with them for about an hour. I lost 90% of my hearing, but it was fun because I got to see everybody before they went home, and that was so. It ended up being very nice. And now we got Black Friday upon us. I woke up to an empty house. I didn't realize this, that my wife and daughter were going on some crazy sojourn. So I got up about 7:15 today. Nobody's in the house.
In the morning?
Sure. Okay. No, I got up at 7:15 tonight. I'm actually doing this show from the future. It's going to be
It just
crazy.
Seems really early without an alarm.
No, I set the alarm.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, no.
You chose that time. Okay.
I did choose that time. Because you remember yesterday, Violetta, what was I going to do? I was going to go to Binny's early in the morning.
Oh, right.
Right. And much like the news story that Bob just played, I was shut out for my Bourbon County Stout. Well, I wasn't shut out. I decided not to stand in a line that went all the way around. Sam, this line was all the way around the building with people wanting to get their
stout.
Same
people were in line for up to 24 hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the people in the front of the line had chairs and a little, camp table. They had the whole deal. I don't know how long they got there.
Well, at least you can start playing Christmas music now that Thanksgiving's over.
Sure, we're going to start doing that. That's all up to Casera. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Wow. That's the first one you picked to start off the Christmas music season?
Yeah, I feel like it's a good one.
That's the one we go with right out of the box?
It's the most annoying one?
Well, no.
It's definitely not the most annoying one.
No, that's not the... Don't throw a challenge down to Casera.
Definitely don't do that.
She will find a lot more annoying Christmas music as we go on. All right, if you have been following the news over the Thanksgiving holiday, you know the president was probably suffering a little bit of indigestion because former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, his attorneys have said that they are not going to share information with the president's team anymore, which is leading to all kinds of speculation. Janae Norman from ABC News joins us now to give us some more on that. Janae, thanks for taking some time. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Have there been any further developments? Because this is this non-cooperation now is leading people to speculate that perhaps Michael Flynn is starting to cooperate with Robert Mueller's Russia probe.
Absolutely. That is, it seems to be the number one thing that people are now speculating following this news, that Michael Flynn's legal team will no longer be sharing information with President Trump's legal team. They think that that could be a sign that Flynn is cooperating with special counsel Robert Mueller and his investigation. Now, of course, really since the beginning of this, we've known that Michael Flynn would be a target, is someone that investigators are interested in looking into. He only was a national security advisor for about 23 days before he resigned because of misleading the vice president about some interactions with the Russian ambassador. So we knew that he would be looked at as part of this investigation, but now this could be a sign that he's cooperating, which, could be reason for President Trump's team to be a little nervous. Maybe not.
Well, Flynn's lawyers were sharing information with not only President Trump lawyers, but Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner's, among all kinds of other people. So now, even though the president's lawyers say this is very common, it still is raising a lot of questions.
Absolutely, and it could stem, there is speculation that it could be because not only is Flynn, maybe target isn't the right word, but is someone who the investigators have been looking into, but as well as his son, so not sure how the legal teams are working all of this out, and, Robert Mueller's team has done a really good job keeping a pretty tight lid.
Yeah.
On this investigation. We don't usually know things are coming out until either right before they do or until they are released. So not for sure what exactly this means. Nothing confirmed at this point, but, a lot of people thinking that this is a sign that Flynn is cooperating.
And you mentioned before Michael Flynn served 23 days as a national security advisor, misled the vice president because he had a lot of actual contact with Russians, including the ambassador Sergei Kislyak. So there's reason to believe that this is going to go a little bit further.
At this point, there are certainly no signs that the investigation is wrapping up anytime soon. No matter how many times the White House spokesperson says so.
Has there been any more comment from the White House today about this?
Last I've seen, we have not heard from the White House about this just yet. So we're waiting to see if the president sends out any tweets or if there's any official word addressing this latest development.
Now, there was rumor that today some top conservative Republicans in the House were going to file a resolution calling for Robert Mueller to step down and recuse himself because they're saying there are conflicts of interest. Has that panned out at all?
That is not anything that I have seen happening today, and that is interesting that there would be news that would be coming today, since Washington's pretty quiet. You know, of course, who knows what could happen in the next few weeks. I know, you know, Congress has a very big to-do list. You know, they're trying to get a tax bill through the Senate. They've got a lot going on, but that is something certainly we'd be watching out for.
And explain again how Michael Flynn's son is involved in all this.
Well, Michael Flynn's son served as his chief of staff, and he was part of some of the financial deals involving Michael Flynn Sr. that the special counsel has been digging into. So, you know, not sure exactly what investigators think that, you know, how they could be looking into him beyond just his connection to his father and those financial deals, or if there are any signs that he could be cooperating. But it could be a move by the elder Flynn, you know, to try to do what he can to protect his son.
Makes sense. So everybody comes back to work on Monday, and then Congress is in session for how long before the holiday break?
You know, the number of days, I'm not sure right off the top of my head, but I know that they are trying to get the tax bill moved through the Senate by Christmas. And early next week, President Trump is set to meet with the four top congressional leaders, Schumer, Pelosi, McConnell, Paul Ryan. On Tuesday, he'll also be on the Hill for Senate GOP policy lunch, I believe it is. So, you know, they're trying to get a lot done. They've still got a hefty to-do list by the end of the year.
Well, and this this Mueller probe is not going away anytime soon, so we will continue to watch ABC's coverage. Janae, thanks for taking some time. Have a nice weekend. Enjoy the rest of your holiday, if there's any time to do that. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Take care.
Take care. That's Janae Norman. She is an ABC News correspondent in Washington. This story will continue to unfold as Michael Flynn's attorneys have now decided we can't share any more information with Donald Trump, the president's lawyers. So we will see. It was first reported by the New York Times. In other political news, somebody outside the Allstate Showcase studio, where we are firmly entrenched, has put a sign, Brian for mayor. Kevin for deputy mayor. Kevin, who doesn't really have a work ethic, he's not here on the holiday. Violetta is here. They want you for PR. I don't know what that means. It's not president because it didn't go all the way. So
maybe prime minister.
Prime minister of
or,
what?
I don't know.
What is PR?
Oh, PR. You said.
Yeah.
PR, like media.
You want you to do media for the city? All right, sure. You can be my media person when I'm elected mayor.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to be president. I know this same guy had a sign for Amy Guth during her and Rex Hupke's show that said they wanted her for president, which is fine. She can have president. That's too much. I think mayor would be great.
Yeah, mayor of Chicago.
Mayor of Chicago would be great. Then I get parking everywhere.
Yeah.
Ha-ha! I would never have to listen. Not that I wouldn't, but I would listen for pleasure, but not for necessity to your traffic trouble spots, because I would have an escort with flashing lights, so I could park wherever I wanted.
That's true.
And I could get through all the traffic. That's the key. That's the only reason I want to be mayor. Sure, I'll try to lower taxes and, you know, get services up to snuff and all of that. But the main thing is, it's all about me.
Yeah. And like, that's going to be hard, so you might as well focus on you and not the other stuff.
Sure, yeah. You know, I don't know if that's going to be a platform that a lot of voters will get behind.
I really want to be mayor.
I'm in it for me. Vote Noonan. He's in it for him.
Maybe they think it's refreshing and honest.
Sure. You know, I'm a maverick.
Are you a donkey or an elephant?
It doesn't matter. I'm in it for me. I'm me, Sam.
You got to align with one of those animals.
No, I don't have to align with anybody.
That
independent.
Would be historical if you went the elephant route, though.
Be hysterical?
Yeah, historical.
Oh,
when
historical.
Was the last time we had a Republican mayor?
I don't know. That's news kind of research, Bob.
Sure.
So you started, Sam, your little offhand comment that, oh, now we could start playing Christmas music. And then Kassara takes to that like a woman with a mission.
I want to make a request. At some point, I'd like to hear Santa Claus going straight to the ghetto. Can we pull that up?
Is that a real song?
Yeah, I got you. I can pull that up.
She knows. You don't know that song? You never heard that song?
No, I know the Cheech and Chong Santa Claus.
Oh, come on. Santa Claus going straight to the ghetto.
I know Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
I don't know it either.
You don't know that one either?
Well, you're about to hear it.
All right.
I'm going to come upstairs and play it.
No,
it's my ringtone right now. No, it's not.
Is it really?
No.
That's very scary.
It's a good song.
There's a Bootsy Collins Christmas album.
Wow, we're giving out all sorts of there. My favorite is the alligator Christmas collection.
There's a woman with a Santa hat outside waving to you. It's Christmas time. The trees are lit. There's wreaths everywhere.
Santa's groin is in the Allstate Showcase studio as it is every year. So
I always found that strange. It's like we don't want to put a full Santa just from the waist down.
Yeah, just waist down. It's a hostile work environment.
Stagecraft.
That's what I enjoy. Oh, here we go.
Go straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer. Go straight to the ghetto.
Who is this? Is it
James Brown?
I was going to say, with the hit, I thought it was James Brown, but I don't know.
Go straight to the ghetto.
Classic.
Wow. Somebody else texting in that it's a classic. All right. We're going to have an all-day dance party with just Christmas music. Cassandra will DJ it because she's a famous DJ.
That was really quick. That's why she's DJ Cashera.
Yeah. So she knows. She knows what's happening. All right, it is, if you are of the capitalist mindset, today is Black Friday. I'm wondering if you went out today because, according to reports, there were a lot of sales, but not the lunacy that there used to be. Because people are doing, as you can imagine, most of their shopping online. I mentioned that my wife and daughter went out. I found out now where they went. You ever heard of this One Free People? Violetta?
Yes.
Is that it's a brand?
Yeah, you could just say Free People. You don't have
Free People, I don't know. Again, I don't know. I don't shop for young ladies' clothing.
Yes.
You know, I always shop in the plus size for the ladies because their clothing fits me better. I guess they were having some big sale. So that's why my wife and daughter left the house at 5:30 this morning to go to the store in Oak Brook and then drive down here to the one on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, well, it's kind of expensive, so if you can get it on sale, why not?
I guess they got some good deals. But it didn't Black Friday, correct me if I'm wrong, Black Friday used to be when you would start Christmas shopping for other people, correct? That completely escaped my daughter. There was no, hey, let's go get mom a gift on Black Friday or dad a gift on Black Friday.
I'm going shopping for me on Black Friday.
You don't have time to think about other people when you're there shopping in the mayhem.
Well, but don't you...
What, are you going to bring a list and make sure you got everyone? No, you're just going to go when you like.
People do.
It's too chaotic to try to think about everybody on your list. So you just think about yourself. And then you can get the other people later.
I was going
to
say, when do you shop
for other people? The true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah, think about yourself.
No, but this isn't Christmas shopping. This is just great shopping.
Please isolate that part, Cassandra, where Violetta talks about it's all about yourself. And then we'll put it to the Charlie Brown Christmas music and create a whole new promo for Violetta.
Well, actually, my sister went out, I think, to Sears, and she got a washer and dryer.
Wow.
For my parents' house. So
Was it a Christmas gift? No, you've blown it.
Was it a surprise?
No, it's not a surprise. It was on my dad's credit card.
Right. Way to go.
My sister bought my parents appliances. Oops. Well, they probably knew that they had dirty clothes, so they needed a washer and dryer.
Yeah, well, they have one now. But, yeah, they got some good deals on it, I think.
Did they send her out for it, or did she do it on her own?
I was supposed to go, too. Remember, I was telling you, me and my grandma.
Right, grandma likes to go out and just look and touch things. Yeah. That's what you said, right?
Yeah, she doesn't buy anything.
That's what she said yesterday, Sam. You weren't here. You were enjoying Thanksgiving.
Well, she's so slow. She just gets knocked over. I'm like, just sit here, check it all out, and I'll be back in, like... half hour.
Well, you realize when people get to a certain age, they do slow down.
Oh, I know. Okay. She's like turtle speed.
But you take her, which is nice.
Oh, yeah. I take her everywhere, but everything's like an added... You know, it's like having a kid. I can only imagine probably like a three-year-old takes forever to do something, too.
Yeah, but the difference is your grandma's not just going to take off at some point.
Hide
in one of the racks. you're looking like, ah.
Yeah, at least she's slow. If she was fast moving around, I'd lose her all the time. Yeah, so anyway, me and my grandma posted up on the couch, and we weren't moving, so my sister went by herself.
All right, she went and got the washer and dryer. That's very nice. Well, people, they're all, you know, for as many people who are out shopping today, there's a lot of people that say, experts, especially, you know, the Motley Fool people, the financial people, they say Black Friday, not a good day to shop anyway. Too much temptation, because too many things are on sale, and then you go in, and you're like, they don't really have what I wanted, but I have to buy something.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here, or it'd be a waste of time.
I came all this way.
Yeah, so I would imagine my daughter was going to buy something today no matter what, even if it wasn't on sale.
It's getting more and more popular to just go to Amazon and type in what you're looking for, and you don't even have to leave the house now.
Right.
And Amazon offers pretty much free shipping. You sign up for their 10-day or 30-day trial, you get free shipping.
Right, and that's why most of the other retailers are doing the same thing. I bought something yesterday. Because Black Friday sales started, you know, Monday. Days ago, yeah. So I, you know, I bought a couple things already this week. Not for me, Violetta. This is weird. I bought them for somebody else. I know. Call me crazy.
Hey, you know what, though? I have to defend Violetta a little bit, because there are certain sales you just can't resist for yourself, too.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Yeah. I know that. I'm not faulting Violetta. I just love that she was so forthright about it. That it's all about shopping for yourself.
Well, I mean, I feel like if you get yourself out of the way first, then you'll worry about what to get everybody else.
You know what? That's a valid point, because then your mind isn't cluttered with, oh, I would like this. You've taken care of yourself.
Exactly.
You've taken yourself out of the equation.
Right.
Now you can be benevolent and think of others. Mm. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I could find something for myself anytime.
See, every time somebody tries to jump to your defense, Violet.
I tried to help you.
Sarah tried really hard to jump in and save you, but no. Did you do any shopping today, Sam?
Not yet.
No.
Oh, today I won't. I refuse.
What?
I won't go shopping on Black Friday, and I won't go to a theater on the opening night.
Those are my two rules as well.
No way.
I will buy something online on Black Friday.
Well, my mom said, are you going to go see Star Wars opening night? I said, a jam-packed theater? No chance. No chance.
Well, according to the National Retail Federation, 116 million consumers plan to shop or were considering shopping today. Two-thirds of the people said the deals were too good to pass up. But there are also reports from stores all over. Remember, in the past, people would be lining up. They'd be punching each other to try to get a television. You'd step on somebody's throat to get a blender for
$3. Remember the guy, I think it was in Oak Park, he brought brass knuckles?
Yes.
And was clubbing his way through.
Oh, my God.
Really? That much for? No, what's going through your mind? I really need that 65-inch TV, and I'm willing to kill to get it. How can you sit there then and enjoy watching TV with the blood of consumers on your hands?
I will knock you with brass knuckles.
Yeah. Get out of my way. I am getting that Xbox. Stab, stab. This is not a prison riot. You're going to Walmart. Relax. I guess in Arizona and California, there still were a couple instances of crazed consumer stupidity. But here, people were saying they were going into like Walmarts and Targets and different things, and they were able to park. They were able to walk right into the stores. So
it's the lines that kill you, though. You'll get all your stuff you want, and then the line is crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have a Macy's situation where the gift cards aren't working on time.
Oh, yeah, that was today. They were having some
How troubles. Convenient.
Wait, what happened?
Are you saying it's a conspiracy, Violetta?
I went to Black Friday shopping once a long time ago at Forever 21, and their credit card machine wasn't working. Mm. Only cash. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, it took forever. And they're like, well, we can write down the number. I'm like,
that'll work. I can write down your number.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, sure. Why don't you do
charge
that?
Charge it as many times as you want.
And well, here's my Social Security number, and here's my checkbook. Just take all my financial records.
Are you allergic to anything, Mr. Noonan?
Yeah, really. Why don't you take my fingerprints?
What is
here's my facial recognition picture. Go ahead. You're fine. Everything you need. Why? Just because I wanted to buy some cologne. Please.
Was that a gift for yourself or for someone else?
I don't wear cologne, and I would never buy cologne. I've had to go in and buy, in the past, smelly stuff, whether it's perfume or whatever you call it, eau de toilette for my wife or daughter, but I don't know. I can't smell it. So it does. They go, oh, it smells so good. Did you like it when you smell it? Nope, I couldn't smell it. No idea. Somebody's 51, never shopped on Black Friday. They say the Chinese have it right, give money or gifts on New Year's Day. That's when people need the money. Well, sure, because we all went out shopping on Black Friday and we're broke. Ain't got no money no more. By 9 o'clock this morning, consumers had spent $640 million shopping online. That represents an 18.4% growth over last year's Black Friday, according to Adobe. On Thanksgiving, consumers shelled out $2.87 billion buying products online. That was when you had to get away from your family, so you went into the office to use a computer just to, you know, to buy some things just so you didn't have to listen to your aunt.
And if you know your way around the Echo, you can just say, yada, yada, order me this.
Really?
And she will order it and place it in your shopping cart. And if you have your credit card already aligned with your shopping cart, you don't even have to do anything but speak to that Amazon Echo. And it will buy, it will locate and buy what you need.
So you are willing to put your credit card?
I don't. I don't have it, but it's doable. They call it Amazon Wallet.
Oh, no.
And you can say, hey, so-and-so, buy this, and they will just buy it.
Well, it's like storing your information on a site that you constantly buy things from.
I never do that.
Oh.
I may be paranoid. I may be old-fashioned. I love shopping online, but I never store my credit card. Never.
I hate pulling out my card to put all the numbers in.
I would rather do that than be the victim of some breach. That's just, again, that's just me. I'm not panicking. All right, Kathy went shopping. How'd it go, Kathy? Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, just a couple days ago, I was at Macy's. I'm glad to hear other people are having problems because I thought it was just me. But I purchased quite a few items, and then I found something at the last minute before I was going to go home, and they said, "Oh, sorry, your card is not accepted. We have a problem." And you know, people are behind you. You're all embarrassed. And they said they have to call the credit department.
Oh, no.
So she gets on the phone, waiting, finally gets a hold of somebody in the credit department. Then the credit department says they want to speak to me. They have all these personal questions like, when was my son born? What was the first car I ever had?
What?
I
mean, now, are these questions that you gave answers to when you got your card?
No. Some of these questions, I can't even remember all the questions, but they were questions that I don't know how they knew the answers to tell you the truth.
Wow. How did they? I couldn't even remember what the first car I owned was.
Yeah. Well, anyway, at that time, at that point, whatever I answered on something must have been wrong. And they said, sorry, this isn't going to work. Oh, I know what it was. They wanted my Social Security number. And I said, I'm sorry. I'll give you the last four numbers, but I'm not going to give you my Social Security. They tell you, you shouldn't do that.
Right. Oh, no, never.
Yeah. Right. So then we happened to be downtown the next day, and I went to the Macy's downtown, and I saw the same item, and I was going to try to purchase it again because I wanted to see what is the problem with my card. And the same thing happened, but they put me on the line with someone. Again, they asked me, but this time different questions, and I said the same thing when they wanted the Social Security number, and this guy said, oh, I understand it. So I don't know if they talked about my angry response the first time or what.
Well, I'm sure there were notes in the system that, Kathy is not being cooperative.
Oh, she's, yes.
She didn't give us nearly enough information to steal her identity.
Right. So anyway, but anyway, they did accept it that time. But it just really drove me crazy because I had made several other purchases that day and nothing to add up to, like, where my credit would be used up.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what your limit is, but I'm sure.
Candy. I do buy a lot of candy, but I mean.
Well, how much candy are you buying that drained your credit card?
I know.
Wow.
It was like,
$35. Sure. Expensive candy, yeah. $35. When you have a $50 limit, Kathy, that's, you're pushing it. They're not gonna give you a lot of leeway.
Some exercise wear. I mean, two pairs of tights. I mean, that's not going to break the bank.
No, but then that on top of all the candy, which is a weird combination anyway. I'm buying a ton of candy and then exercise clothes. It's like I'm going to be feeling guilty, so I may have to jog. I don't understand how that works. But, Kathy, well, good luck with the rest of your holiday season, and maybe buy some vegetables. That would be fun, too. All right. Thanks for calling, Kathy.
I was in line last year with somebody. They bought, I don't know, say $2,500 worth of electronics, right? And they get to the register, and the cash register says, would you like to donate a dollar to St. Jude's? I'm sorry, no.
Yeah, come on, charity.
No.
Are you crazy?
Just spent $2,500. Would you like to donate a dollar to the Children's Hospital? No.
No. That dollar's going to break you.
Nope.
That's enough. I've heard just about enough. Violetta, is this one up near the top?
Yeah, this is up there.
What was the first one you played that Violetta said was the most annoying?
Grandma got run over.
Yeah, this is. I think this one's more annoying than that.
I don't know. I just don't like that one.
Okay.
Why would
But you like Alvin and the Chipmunk?
Because she wandered out into the snow after drinking. Grandma was hammered and she didn't see the reindeer coming. You can't follow the story.
You gotta get to verse two or three before you.
But reindeer fly.
Not all of them. It didn't say Grandma got run over by Santa's reindeer, just a general reindeer. Reindeers are, big, clumsy animals.
Right. I don't know.
But if you see the music video, like, the reindeer just, like, swooping kind of low on their way up in flight.
But either way, Grandma was hammered. She couldn't pay attention.
I couldn't imagine something I'd want to do less than watch the music video to that.
Oh, wow.
I think we could come up with a number of things you'd like to do less than that.
No.
Really?
It's a cartoon, right?
Yeah, it is. No, it's an actual movie, too. I like the movie, though. The movie is good. My grandpa likes it, too.
You've gone way down the rabbit hole now. There's a movie?
There's a movie.
Grandma Got Run Over by
a Reindeer? Yeah, it's called Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
And does Grandma actually get run over by the reindeer?
She does.
Really? Is it gory?
No.
Take a lift to the head?
Nah.
Granny Spice.
Well, actually, it is a hoof, but they don't really show it. They just show her, like, walking, and then it goes black, and they come back, and you see her on the ground. That's it?
No, I want to see the whole thing. I'm going to remake it.
Are you a Simpsons guy, by the way?
Yeah.
Do you remember when Homer goes to reindeer training class, or Santa training class, and they're like, all right, Mr. Simpson, name the reindeer. And he's like, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Nixon.
Nixon.
Comet, Cupid, Donna Dixon. The instructor's like, get out.
Somebody with a fun fact, reindeer is a term for domestic caribou. So,
is that true?
I don't know. If it's coming in on the text line, there's a good chance
it's got to be true.
It's 100% true.
I don't think there's been a more correct text ever sent to the station than the one from the 815, though.
Dominic the Donkey is the much more annoying song?
That's the worst song ever.
Yeehaw.
It's the worst song ever.
All right.
Now, please don't play it. I jump through the window.
Whoa. Another gauntlet's been thrown down. This is turning into it's supposed to be just a fun Friday.
What's going on here?
Casero's being threatened, a hostile work environment. I'm not involved. You saw me stand up for you. I don't want to be dragged into this HR investigation that Sam will be the brunt of. He's pouring liquids all over the studio. He's creating a hostile, threatening Casera by coming through the window.
I said, I will jump through the window. Not her.
You'll just jump out the window.
That's dangerous to yourself. Right?
No, but that I'd like to see. Sam go through the double panes of bulletproof glass.
I would probably not make it.
Well, listen, it's worth a try.
Okay. It definitely is. I'd like to see that happen.
You know what? The Bears aren't going to win Sunday, but they have to try, right?
Right.
Look at that. Come right back to where we're. That's why you're here.
That's why you're the king.
No, that's why you're. That's why. That as they said in any given Sunday, on any given Sunday, things could happen. But let's be honest. There's not a chance on God's earth that the Bears are going to win on Sunday. It pains me to say that. I take no joy in saying that. But come on, the Eagles haven't lost at home. As you said, they're 9-1. Only the Saints have a better streak going, or a streak as good with 8 wins in a row. The Bears are hobbled on defense now. It's not looking good.
That's the issue. Now, 2 weeks ago, if they had Leonard Floyd, if Trevathan was going to play, now Akeem Hicks, who's questionable, if he was going to play.
John Fox being a little too cagey about Hicks. Oh, he's just resting up. He'll be ready.
Yeah, he's fine. Everything's good.
He's fine. His leg's laying over there.
Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Have a lozenge, too.
It's fine.
So the defense is just not looking good.
They're spanked up, and you can't control that. I mean, injuries are a part of the game right now. But if you're losing, you know, your best linebacker in Trevathan, your best pass rusher, Leonard Floyd, is out for the season with knee injuries. He tore two ligaments. Up front, you could be missing Hicks, who's been your best player up front. And the secondary, if there's no pass rush, the secondary will be exposed. The secondary has been able to be okay because of the pressure on the quarterback. But when all your pressure guys are out or hurt or hobbled, it will expose the secondary. So I don't think it's going to be all that close. I mean, I can see the Bears hanging around, maybe cover 14 points. That's a lot of points in the NFL. But it's a rookie quarterback going on the road with a hobbled defense. And if the Bears don't control the ball and control the clock, if they can't run with Howard and Cohen, the defense will be on the field way too long. They'll get tired. They'll be exhausted, and then Philly will just run away with it.
Well, you look at Philly, second-year quarterback Carson Wentz comes out drafted the same position as Trubisky. He's doing great. There's talk of MVP kind of numbers for him.
He's the favorite.
Yeah, he's coming along doing great. And one of his favorite targets, which I can't believe, Alshon Jeffrey.
Yep.
You may remember Alshon Jeffrey, Sam. He was here.
Ryan Pace let him go. Ryan Pace didn't want to franchise tag him. He thought that he had enough with Kevin White and Cameron Meredith.
He was wrong.
He was very wrong.
Very wrong. So now Alshon is, while not tearing it up in Philly, he's doing very well, and the coaches speak highly of him, and he's become one of the favorite targets for Wentz. So going back to your comment about the secondary, that's going to be a very interesting matchup, because everybody knows, you know, NFL guys play intense every week, but when you're playing against a team that let you go, there's that little extra incentive to go, look at me. So that's going to be, who do you think they put on him? Who's going to be tasked?
Probably Kyle Fuller.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. But there are too many weapons. I mean, they've got so many good players there. They just got Jay Ajayi last month from Miami, the running back who was exiled. He was punished and banished out of Miami, and they signed the Philly. It's like, hey, we're gonna move you out of Tuscaloosa. We're gonna move you to New York City. I mean, that's pretty much what happened. He goes into a great situation.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have to play with Cutler. I get to go up to Philly.
Well, he's not even playing anymore. No. He's like hurt every other week.
He's the Derrick Rose of football.
They've got a good offensive line in Philly. I really like their coach. Look at what a quarterback-centric coach can do for a young quarterback. What a novel idea, Brian. Let's bring Doug Peterson, who played in the NFL for years as a quarterback. He was a coordinator in Kansas City under Andy Reid, who has been really good with quarterbacks. This is pretty much foreshadowing to what Chicago needs to do. It's amazing
to me. They're not doing it until at least the end of the season.
Oh, they won't fire him.
They probably won't. They won't fire him because he's got, what, one more year on his contract?
I don't know if they won't fire him. It's amazing to me, though, that people walking down the street know what the Bears should do, and the Bears front office doesn't. Isn't that weird?
Is it that they don't know, or they're too arrogant to give in? Because there's a point where if you've invested this much effort and money, you don't want to have to say, yeah, we were dumb. You know, we were really dumb. Are we trusting Ryan Pace too much?
Yes. You see David Haas' column? It was a great column about, are we trusting Ryan Pace a little too much? And you can look at the defense and all the things that they've done there and the signings that they've made. And there are a lot of good things on that defense.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that this was a rebuilding process going back 2 years. Once they got rid of Mark Trestman and Jay Cutler, you know, in back-to-back years, you knew that this was going to be a knock it down and build it back up.
And the defense seems to be going in the right direction.
Well, you just want to find pieces on both sides of the ball you can keep. And on defense, I think you've got six, maybe seven guys that you think you like going forward. On offense, three, four.
Who are you counting? Because I'm thinking
Trubisky,
right?
Long,
right?
Howard,
yep.
Cohen.
Okay.
Charles Leno, I guess, on the offensive line. None of the receivers. I guess Shaheen's okay. But I haven't seen enough consistently from these guys on offense. And it's amazing that you draft a quarterback number two, and you come into the season with no weapons around him to throw the ball.
Well, that's because we didn't, you know, you don't want to have to franchise tag, as you said before. Let Alshon go. So everybody I read, no, there's no chance. Everybody's predicting.
There's always a chance. Well, it's the NFL. Sure. I would say there's a 5%, 10% chance.
You're a betting man. You like to wager.
Well, the spread's 13.5.
Right.
I think it's going to be right around 14. I think that's a pretty tight line. Vegas has been getting crushed because the Eagles have been covering every week.
Yeah.
They're winning and covering, which is bad for Vegas. So that's why this line is so high. But with all the injuries on the Bears side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, I should say, it's going to be tough to take on an MVP without a lot of good defenders.
And that's like a let's change. Let's switch it up. First of all, what was this high school championship game with two schools with incredibly difficult names to say that was in the last minute?
Oh, Melvin Sibley and Maroa Forsyth?
Yes.
I believe it's
final
now.
Are those four towns that combined for two high schools, or is it a guy named Melvin Sibley who started his own high school?
Melvin Sibley is actually a school in Gibson City.
Okay, wow, that doesn't make
there's
any
a lot
sense.
Going, there's a lot of hyphens when there's you go lower in the classes. Smaller cities, they combine cities.
All right.
Or, well, not cities, towns, villages.
Man. Yeah.
Maroa Forsyth, that's Maroa and Forsyth.
All right, very nice.
It was 36-32 last check. There was a minute left to go. Right. But there's title games tonight, and there's four more tomorrow. Big one in 8A is Loyola Lincoln Way East. They've never played before.
Lincoln Way East, that's where my daughter went to school.
Very good schools.
Go Griffins.
Both very good schools.
Yeah.
Really? I'm pulling for the Ramblers. I'm a Catholic League blue.
All right. And I got to go because I still have a Lincoln Way East hat. So I have to go with that.
you're simple.
Sure. Well, yeah. Listen, I'm like the guy who bets because he likes the color of the uniform.
That's probably why you win the brackets in March.
That's probably it.
Mascots and colors.
Like sure. Ooh,
they're purple. All right.
Listen, especially in the tournament, you never know. There's always the big upset. All right, what do you think about Derrick Rose? You know my thoughts on Derrick Rose going way back when he didn't want to play. He's worried about the future of his son, so he doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to risk himself. I don't know Derrick Rose personally. He may be a wonderful man. I don't think he has lived up to his potential, and I know he's been injured, but there's something that is leading to all these injuries. He was never injured up until he got to the Bulls, and then he couldn't not be injured.
It may be the saddest career arc for a basketball player ever.
It's because he came in with so much promise. You got the hometown guy.
He was the youngest MVP in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
And a year later, he's on the shelf. And there were a bunch of ailments that year. I remember he had a foot injury, a groin injury, a toe injury, I think a hamstring injury. And doctors have, you know, pretty much analyze the fact that he was overcompensating for all the injuries and he was running and jumping on different levels and different ways and angles. And that's what led to the knee injuries. There was a non-contact knee injury, too, when he got hurt. But it's just been, it's been a mess. And I think, unfortunately, his brother Reggie is the mouthpiece. And Reggie is bombastic and very, very, I don't know. Let's just say people don't like Reggie Rose.
Right.
And Reggie is the mouthpiece. Because Derek, when he grew up, and Derek and I are the same age. I played against Derek in grade school. Derek was always the coddled, sheltered, silent kid who wouldn't say anything. If you wanted to talk to Derek, you talked to Reggie. And the brothers sort of cocooned Derek in Englewood, where he grew up, at 73rd and Parnell.
To protect him from everybody.
I mean, even when he went to school, he went with a crowd of people. And everywhere he went, there were people around him. So it's been tough for Derek to speak for himself. And you see that when he gets in front of a microphone.
He's never wanted
Now when he gets in front of a microphone, he doesn't know what to say.
Right.
Because he just is not good at public speaking.
Yeah.
So it's a sad story, man. I really do think that, you know, when you look at the trajectory when he was 21 and 22 was nothing but up.
Yeah.
It was going toward Mount Everest. And now it's in the Dead Sea.
The career, he had the endorsements. He had, and then Adidas was going to do the comeback. You know, they do the videos.
The return that never returned.
Yeah. And it's so then last year with the Knicks, he goes AWOL. This year now the Cavs are saying that it's excused. We knew he was taking some time. But who knows? You know, it's supposedly a rolled ankle. The coach had said it'd be a couple of weeks, but who knows? Now, if Derek is... But Derek has done this before where he was questioning his commitment to the game and if he wanted to keep playing. If you had to... I know I keep asking you to make bold predictions, but that's your job as a sports guy.
Sure.
Would you predict he comes back?
I think he'll be back. Unfortunately, I think he's going to get hurt again.
Yeah.
And when you do get hurt, when you miss all the games that he's missed and you hear it from the crowds, look, this is a poor... He grew up poor on the southwest side of Chicago and was handed the key to the city, and injuries took him off the tracks. I mean, it's not his fault he got hurt.
No.
Now, the decisions he's made after his injuries have been certainly questionable.
I go back to when he was coming out of Memphis and his diet was all candy. I think that's a bad foundation for long-term health. Coming from a guy who's had a bad foundation for long-term health, I could speak to that. If all you eat is candy, Derek, it's not your bones aren't going to be strong enough.
The candy made him fly, though.
Did it, or did it make him crash horribly?
We have a text from an expert in the 217. I should have looked into this a little deeper. So Gibson City, Melvin, and Sibley are all individual towns with one consolidated high school.
Okay. All right.
I thought that Melvin Sibley was a school in Gibson City.
So it's all together?
Yes.
All three. Well, very good. So, and you'll be covering all this. And Preps Plus is tomorrow night?
Season finale, yep.
Season finale.
Yep, that's it.
All the big scores.
All the big games. Well, there's only 16 teams left. Well, after the first two games, there's two champions and,
Five
games left.
What time's the show tomorrow?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock p.m., Preps Plus. There's certain songs that I didn't mind when I first started hearing them, and then you hear them nonstop. This is one.
No, this is one never gets old.
Never gets old. Never. This is my mom's favorite Christmas
song. Is it really?
It's very depressing. Which
it is very depressing.
Know,
it's almost as depressing as Blue Christmas.
I like the sad Christmas songs.
Do you really?
Why?
What about the one with the little kid in the shoes?
Oh, that's too maudlin. I used to put, when I was first starting out in radio, I was in a very small market in southern Illinois, and I found what could be the saddest Christmas song ever. It was called Give Us Our Farm Back for Christmas. And I know it, somebody found it for me and gave it to me, but it's on a 45, an old 45. You don't know what that is, Violetta? A 45? It's one of those little tiny records.
She's like, yeah, totally.
It's vinyl, but it's small. Anyway. It was about a family that had their farm foreclosed on for Christmas, and it was the saddest, most horrible song I had ever heard in my life. So I played it every day.
What?
I played it every day.
Oh.
Just because.
Did you feel like you could relate to someone?
I wanted to make it a hit. No, I wanted to make it a hit.
And how'd that go for you?
Didn't go well. Hmm. But there were a lot of people who would start requesting it because people are, you know, goofy.
Right.
And so, like me. And so if they listened to me long enough, they got as goofy as I was, and they're like, oh, you got to play that song.
I need to find this song.
Listen, that's your challenge. I don't know if you'll be able to.
And what is it called?
Give Us Our Farm Back for Christmas.
Give Us Our Farm Back for Christmas.
So if Violetta likes the depressing songs, like the shoe song. The
I
shoe
do.
Song is too... No, why do you want to cry at Christmas? Why don't you want to be happy and joyful at Christmas?
I don't know. I enjoy sadness sometimes.
Wow. You've got a lot of feels, Violetta.
Well, it's like watching a movie.
Going back to yesterday's topic of things men over 40 should not say.
Got a lot of feels.
Poor Violetta and all her feels. Very nice.
They actually brightened my day. They really depressed me.
Leo is going to jump all over you, Brian. Be careful.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm bashing myself. I'm just surprised that Violetta likes the really sad songs. Has enough money. We don't need to keep. We don't need to pad our pockets.
Isn't there a movie or a show for this one now?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Not that I know.
There's a music video. She's in a red jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Playing in the snow with Santa.
Sure. Listen. And again, that's one that when it came out, I was like, "Oh, this is wonderful." It's just that I've heard it so much. But that's okay.
Oh, it's like,
owns I turned you that Christmas.
It
though.
Does own Christmas.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do,
Donny Hathaway?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, good.
Oh. Wow, look at Bob.
Come through, Bob.
I like it, Bob. Bob's a fine musician in his own right, so he knows.
No Donny Hathaway.
He knows about the music business and the fine Christmas recordings. All right, if you are a cannabis aficionado, listen up. Because on December 4th, cannabis-infused dining is coming to Chicago. Windy City High, it is called, and one of the man behind it, is Chef Manny Mendoza, who hails originally from Pilsen, and he joins us now on WGN. Chef Manny, I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking some time this afternoon.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much.
So, I saw this story, and I was intrigued, as I'm sure a lot of people are. First of all, how'd you get involved in cooking, and then how did that evolve into not only being a chef, but then being a chef who likes to infuse his food with cannabis?
Well, I started cooking when I was a young teenager, about 16. I entered a program downtown called Gallery 37.
Okay.
And that's what really exposed me. Just the cooking club exposed me to handling food, to cooking food, to trying things that I never tried before. And that's what kind of inspired me. Wow, things can taste, things that I thought I used to hate now taste good. So that just opened up a whole new set of, doors for me, and then from there I decided I wanted to go to culinary school. I went to the Culinary Institute of America in New York, and from there it just stuck with me as a passion, because I started meeting so many great friends, mentors. It became so deeply a part of me. That's what pretty much led me to be a chef and cook.
And you worked at a lot of well-known restaurants in Chicago before you went to California, right?
Yeah, I worked in some really good ones, for some really great chefs. No crazy, crazy restaurants, high end, like 3 Michelin star type restaurants. But I had really good training. I did a lot of scratch cooking. I did a lot of apprenticeships and stages, around the city at those kind of Michelin rated restaurants. But a lot of it was taught from a small group of people, I would say.
And do you have a specialty? Like before you got into what we're going to talk more about, the cannabis infused dining, did you have a niche? Was there something that, hey, this is Manny Mendoza's specialty?
Well, I'm of Mexican and Salvadorian descent, so a lot of like Central American or Mexican or Latin cuisine or flavors. That's probably my niche, especially.
So how do you go from cooking in restaurants here in Chicago, you go to California, you're cooking, and then you decide, you know what, I'm going to start experimenting with infusing my food with cannabis?
Well, it happened a long time ago. It happened right after I came back from culinary school. I mean, I've been a small time, like, habitual smoker, toker since early on in high school.
So. All right.
It wasn't anything new, and I've always been cooking, so it's really just been a marriage of things that I've always loved and been passionate about, feeding people, sharing with people, sharing herb with people, and cooking for them. So all these things were just a natural product of everything I've ever done.
So what was the first dish that you remember infusing with some sort of cannabis, and how did it turn out?
Brownies.
Well, brownies would seem like the easiest, most obvious answer, but I'm guessing it wasn't brownies, or was it?
No, it really wasn't. I've never actually been a fan of brownies. They've always been too much high in sugar and fat for me.
Okay.
And they kind of made my stomach upset, and then in turn made my head upset. So I've always tried to stay away from really high fatty sugar edibles my whole life. But my first drink actually was a chocolate milk.
Really?
Because I heard about infusing butters, and then I just applied the same logic of finding a fat to get the THC or CBD molecules to adhere to. So I figured, like, whole milk has plenty of fat.
Right.
I just grinded up some herb, put it in a small saucepan with milk, heated it up for about 15 minutes on low, and then I strained it, mixed it with chocolate mix, and put it in the freezer with some ice, and then I had just, like, the most amazing iced chocolate milk. And I was feeling really great.
Well, this is a naive question from a guy who's never smoked in his life. Does it when you're taking the edibles, do you get the same type of high you would if you were just smoking it?
Well, it really depends on the kind of strain you're using and how much of it you're using, the ratio between CBD to THC. Because if you have something that's really high in high potency, in THC, you're going to get a head high, like a really severe one. And if you're not used to it, that's what you want to stay away from. You want to keep really low, mild doses and have it in proportion to CBD, because that's non-psychoactive. So you want to balance out the psychoactive from the non-psychoactive. That way you have a balanced effect, and you don't feel too lethargic, and you don't feel too head high. You have a nice balance where you're relaxed and your body's feeling at ease, and your mind has a little bit more openness, a little bit more clarity, a little bit more sensitivity to tastes and feelings and sounds, but not in a bad way, not in an overwhelming way. It's supposed to be mild.
Now, again, for the non-herb aficionados, most people have heard the term THC. What's the CBD that you talk about and how that is important when you're infusing food with it?
CBD is the non-psychoactive component. It's just one of hundreds of components, active components inside of the cannabis plant. THC is what you get after you heat up THCA molecule. It reverts, or it goes into, it turns into THC, and that's what makes it psychoactive. CBD is the component that has a lot more medical benefits to the body in general. It's an anti-inflammatory, it's an antipsychotic, it helps with digestive aid.
Is all of this legal?
Well, that's what I'm going to get to, because you were in California and you're cooking, and this has been a lifelong thing for you, and you start this company, Herbal Notes. And during that time when you're starting that, this is when the whole thing of recreational marijuana becoming legal in California is starting. So you start doing these dinners. Now you're bringing one to Chicago. How tough is it to navigate the legalities of these places where you're going to have these dinners?
Well, it really isn't that tough, because there is currently in place a medical marijuana pilot program.
Right.
So there is a small area of legality when it comes to this stuff.
Okay.
But the way we're going about it is everybody that's coming to or invited to our dinner has a real patient card. They are real patients.
Okay.
And we have a licensed handler on our side who can check these IDs. She works for a cannabis outreach program in Illinois. And she has a license. She works between doctors and their recommendations and patients. So she's kind of the middle person between them. So she's going to be checking all of our IDs. She's going to make sure all the patients and verify them. And then we're really giving people the smallest dose possible. It's really more of an entry, more of an exposure.
Okay.
So more people can see a new light, and we can break a really old stigma of cannabis in general.
Well, when you started Herbal Notes, what was it? Was that the goal, to change the perception and to bring more people into the tent, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely, because there's already 30 plus states in the country that have legalized it in some form, which means that there's not thousands, but millions of people who all over, especially in Illinois, but all over the country, who feel like there's this sort of stigma against them that they need to hide. They need to be afraid. They need to, you know, fear for their job, fear for, like, loved ones are going to shun them. There's just this whole stigma about something that's really not even that, or really not bad at all, but it is about breaking the stigma against people who are normal people. They're people with real ailments. They're senior citizens. They're mm-hmm. veterans, and they're enthusiasts who really aren't bad people, but they want to share the same experience that all these other people are. So they don't deserve to be, you know, set right. aside in a clock, labeled as these are bad people. These are like, you know, devil children. They're gonna spread all these, you know, nasty ideas and throughout the community and infect. And then
listen, Manny, I don't know if you watch Reefer Madness. We all know what happens. A little bit of pot, you're throwing people out windows. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
but this is a great.
I'm trying to tell people again.
Oh, of course, because you know all the studies that are coming out for medicinal marijuana and medicinal cannabis, it's hard to ignore. You know, at first people will go but the more medical research that comes out, you can't keep discounting all of this research. So I was looking at the website, and if people
of
want
course,
information,
may,
go ahead.
May I add one small little thing? Just another, a little more reinforcement is that the human body has an addition to our nervous system. It's called the endocannabinoid system. It's in place because it's to receive cannabis molecules, THC, CBD, everything from the plant we are made to receive. So it's not like coincidence, hey, we want to start smoking and feeling effects.
Right.
That's something we've been doing since ancient times, for hundreds of years, if not thousands. In some form, people in the Middle East, people in South America, people all over the world have some form of cannabis, and they've been doing it throughout history. So this isn't anything really new.
So if people go to herbalnotes.com and they've got their patient card and they're interested in this dinner, when they come to the event on December 4th, first of all, have you found a location yet?
Yes, we have a location.
Okay, good. So you have a location, because when the story first came out, you didn't have a location. So what can they expect when they sit down? What kind of dishes are you creating for this dinner?
Well, Chef Daniel Espinoza of Lobo Ray, he's our chef partner, collaborating with us. So he's going to be cooking dishes. We're splitting the menu in half, and he's cooking dishes that are a little bit more true to his background. And the same, we're really cooking from the heart. We're not trying to make some kind of lavish, extreme modernist approach to normal food. We just want to be able to share what we have experienced and what we love and what we have been cooking our whole lives with these people. And now we're just adding a little seasoning, a little extra
seasoning
in the cannabis.
Very
nice.
It's
really not. Yeah, it's just a little touch, a little salt or a little oil or a little vinegar or something, just to kind of finish the dish and to kind of bring everybody together. Not just the dish itself and all the components, but everybody together.
And if people are interested, herbalnotes.com is the website. All the information on the dinner at Windy City High, which is happening December 4th. And again, you have to have a patient card. This is not just for, you know, somebody who's hanging out who thinks, oh, this will be fun. You have to have a patient card. It's all legal. Everything's cool. Chef Manny Mendoza coming back home for a big event. I thank you for taking some time this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Good talking to you, Manny. Take care. That's Chef Manny Mendoza. Again, herbalnotes.com.
Mama made Christmas good at our house. Most years she just did without. Tell me, sir, what am I gonna do?
Is this the shoe song?
This is the shoe song.
What's it called? The Red Shoe, My Red Something? And, of course, Violetta is not in Traffic Central listening now.
Wow. Way to go, Violetta.
Oswald comedy bit where he completely analyzes in a funny way this song and refutes it entirely.
I'm going to have to look for that, because Patton Oswalt is hilarious.
Violetta's back with Kleenex.
Did that get you all revved up, Violetta?
Oh.
Right before the Carnarvon wagon rolls, you got to start crying, get all weepy. Our friends from Baptiste and Bottle coming in after the news.
Dude, I think you guys are making fun of me or something.
No, we're not. Of course we're not making fun of you. You said that was your favorite song.
I know,
and you like to be sad.
I do. I also like Gloomy Days. I hate the sun.
Wow.
And rainy days.
and Mondays.
No, those always.
Oh, don't go that
those
far.
Always.
For the record, I was somewhat making always. Fun of Violetta for liking that song.
Well, sure. Let's be honest. We're teasing her a little bit, but only because she brought it up. We wouldn't have out of the blue just said, Violetta only likes sad Christmas songs. She laid the foundation.
Yes, definitely.
That's how it goes.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to be all weepy during Christmas. I want to be uplifted. I want to think of pageantry and snow and gifts and
fat guys in red suits.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I want the nitty gritty sad stuff.
Wow.
Breath of Heaven by Amy Grant.
Is that a sad one, Bob?
It's poignant. It's scriptural and natural.
Scriptural and natural?
Nature. It is.
That's crazy.
I haven't had a cocktail yet, I swear.
No, listen. Who's been drinking all the mimosas? Bob Kessler. No,
programming alert, though. I sent Cash the saddest Christmas song ever. She's going to play it coming up.
And for clarification, and Cassara will back me up on this, Give Us Our Farm Back for Christmas does exist, but it only exists on vinyl as a 45
that you have to purchase. I can attest to that as well.
So the song is real. If management is listening and wants to get a turntable in here, and I will, if they can get us a turntable before 7.
You got 8 minutes.
Yep. Right.
We need it for 5:05.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't want to play with Baptiste and Bottle in here. We'll play it afterwards. We'll play when we don't have
any
guests.
Play when they leave.
Right. Out of 5:30 news.
Yeah, we don't want to bring down any guests and, you know, make them all sad and weepy. Even though Violetta would enjoy that. So does the whole Podrometic clan sit around and cry on these sad songs? The whole group? The basement? Is this where you and the kids are in the basement with your heinies?
No.
Twerking?
No.
I definitely don't think they twerk to that.
This is me by myself in my car when it's raining, driving home.
Oh my
sad.
Gosh, this sounds so depressing.
aiming the Honda toward the lake. This is a very sad story.
No,
Violetta.
it's like it gives me time to think.
Okay.
So you think...
Upbeat all the time. I like some sad stuff.
All right, so you need to bring yourself down a little bit.
Because jazz music doesn't work at all.
Nope, she just needs...
Jazz music? Where's someone going to find that?
What do you... What? Cassara just let that one go.
Favorite story. About the house went blue. I come home one Friday. And I tell the landlady that I lost my job. She said, that don't confront me, long as I get my money next Friday.
Right on.
Now next Friday I come, I didn't get the rent, and out the door I went.
It's a long time before George gets to the one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer, but that's all right. You know what that song means. It means that on Friday on the Rokon Show, the Knarble Wagon is set to roll. Brian Noonan in for Roe and Anna. They will be back with you on Monday. But even though they're not here, the Carnarble Wagon always is. Sam has joined us in the studio, and we are joined by our friends from Baptiste and Bottle. Wesley Gale is the general manager of Baptiste and Bottle. She is busy whipping up some cocktails with her AGM, who doesn't want to be mentioned. She's like Voldemort, the woman who will not be named. But just know, if you're walking past the Allstate Showcase studio, there is another woman in here who's right now feverishly working on creating some cocktails and unveiling some of the beautiful treats that Baptiste and Bottle brought with them. But Wesley, we cannot say her name. Is that correct?
That's correct. Well, I can say her name is Amanda. Right. She just doesn't want to be on. But we can say her name, of course. But she came and helped me bring all of these fabulous foods and cocktails to you today. Because, you know, we just have only a block or two walk, but we felt that we needed two of us to walk.
Well, sure, and you brought milk crates full of cocktails and some treats. And for those not familiar with Baptiste and Bottle, it's a 101 East Erie on the 20th floor of the Conrad Hotel.
Somebody was here last year from Baptiste and Bottle.
Who was here?
Somebody was here. Really? I know my B's and B's, and that was one of
Sam
them.
Sam loves restaurants with alliteration.
Because you had just opened. You had just opened.
Actually, we just had our one-year anniversary on November 14th.
Right, so this was like the first month after it opened, and somebody was here from B&B.
Well, we've had Rusty come on. He's one of my bartenders. Right. He's come on and talked about some cocktails before. But I don't know who else has come on. Mainly Rusty, I know, has come on to talk to you guys, but I'm here today.
But we are happy to have you.
Thank you.
So I got to ask you this. Yesterday you had a big Thanksgiving brunch. Everything goes smoothly?
We had a great Thanksgiving brunch. It was really, really amazing. It did go smoothly. Thank you.
Good.
We had some people that absolutely loved it. We had turkey. We had prime rib. We had all the fixins. We had pecan pie and pumpkin pie, and it was amazing. It was really good. Hopefully next year we're going to do it even bigger and better, but we did a really great job for our first Thanksgiving at Baptiste and Bottle.
Very nice. Sam, what are you saying? What do you need?
I was saying I was a little too hot.
All right. That's all. All right.
I was trying to.
All right. I don't know what he's doing either. Yeah, just talk. We don't have to. There's no sequence here. We're in a fishbowl. Everybody can see you, but you flailing about. I thought you were having some sort of seizure that only alcohol or some treats would fix. I don't know.
He hasn't had any alcohol.
The problem is I'm thirsty. Yeah, that's the issue.
You know what? It's so warm outside right now that that's probably why you're warm inside. We were warm walking over
really?
Here.
Really? Well, you were carrying tons of gear.
We were carrying milk crates.
I've just been analyzed.
Well, sure. And quite fittingly so. So, Wesley, bourbon has become. In the last few years, everybody's focused on bourbon, which Baptiste and Bottle is bourbon-centric. What sets bourbon apart from other whiskeys? What makes bourbon bourbon and some other whiskey just, you know, rot gut that we're going to drink out of a bag?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, I should tell you, I mean, bourbon is the best, and it's the best brown spirit there is, right? And it has to be made in Kentucky. So that's what makes our bourbon the best, right? But we actually have a wonderful bourbon that is made here in Ravenswood.
Really?
From Koval. And we have our own bourbon barrel. So I guess it's not made in Kentucky. But it's really fabulous. And we brought you Manhattans today made with Koval.
I am a Manhattan fiend.
You're a Manhattan fiend. Well, we should pass this over. We brought some, some of our wonderful Koval from Ravenswood, Chicago, Illinois. And we actually brought two cocktails today. One is Manhattan and one is just a vodka martini because I wanted to tell you guys, because I don't know if everybody knows, but if you come in and have lunch at Baptiste and Bottle, you can get a $3 martini.
I saw that. It was a new thing. And what I found interesting, because the martinis will be made tableside. So you're going to roll up this big cart, your own version of the Carnarvon wagon. You'll come up. You're doing vodka and gin, which everybody, immediately you think, oh, vodka, martini, gin, martini, that's fine. But you're also making a martini out of bourbon. Is that allowed? Because that sounds, it sounds a little sketchy.
People have questioned us on that. So we just say, well, it's our bourbon Manhattan teeny.
Okay.
Because it's called the martini cart. It couldn't be the bourbon Manhattan cart.
Right.
But we, of course, couldn't have a martini cart without having bourbon on it because we're a bourbon-centric restaurant. So that's what we did. So we call it the teeny, what do we call it? The martini lunch. Or no, the lunch
if we
teeny.
Closely,
lunch
we teeny. Hear voice.
I know. What do we call it? I love it. I just asked Amanda.
Yes.
I named it.
That's perfect.
And I couldn't remember what I called it. So it's called the Lunchtini, and it's for $3. But
okay.
What were you going to call a lunch Manhattan? I couldn't think of anything that went well.
A brunch Hatton.
Midday Hatton.
Midday Hatton.
Midday Hatton.
A Manhattan.
I should have called you guys.
Yeah, we're very creative.
Yeah, you're very
especially
creative.
Especially when liquor's
involved. You're going to leave here and be like, those guys are dumb.
Yeah.
Those were the worst ideas.
No, I'm going to go change the name.
Those were the worst ideas I ever heard. Oh, my God. I think they were drunk when we got here. So, obviously, people can... How... Because now you not only have... cocktails,
yeah.
You also have a lot of different flights, a lot of different tastings of bourbon.
Everything.
And for people who have only had a couple kinds, you know, they drink whatever. They drink Knob Creek or Buffalo Trace or whatever, or maybe they've been to your place and they're drinking Koval. What subtleties are people looking for as they taste different bourbons?
Well, I think they're looking for different flavors. They're different flavor profiles. Is something sweet? Is something smoky? Does it go with my food? I mean, that's obviously a big thing at Baptiste and Bottle, right? What can I get that's going to go with this macaroni and cheese? What can I get? That's what we get a lot, actually, in the restaurant. What can I get that's going to go with this food?
Yeah.
Pair this. Our bartenders are amazing. To be honest, I don't even know how they know. They know every single thing about every single whiskey and bourbon in our bar. We have Japanese whiskeys. We have so many different bourbons. I can't even tell you. I think it's over 70 or something like that that are on our list. I mean, it's crazy. So I think it just depends on, you know, where the person is coming from, what they're looking for, if they're looking for something just to sip on, if they're looking for something local, if they're looking for something that they've never tried before.
What if a guy like Sam comes in and he just wants to do shots? Because that's his MO. He's just going to roll in.
Just shots? I mean, that's pretty simple, I would think. That just what's smooth, right? What's
right.
going to go down easy and keep them coming, huh?
Less smoky.
Yeah.
Less smoky for shots.
Less smoky.
Is that right for the
less
shots?
Smoky less for smoky for shots. Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's for you. Some people want more smoky.
The Manhattan is delicious. Mm. Now, I'm looking at the cherries, and I've seen, what are these type of cherries? Because they're not the red, you know, you go someplace, you go, oh, so I like, because I like a couple cherries in there. But usually they're the bright red maraschino cherries.
Yes.
And I always get a couple because I'm fighting scurvy. So it's nice to see that Amanda put three in there because I need my vitamin C high up.
Amanda knows how to do it.
Yeah, she does. Doesn't know how to talk, but knows how to make a wicked Manhattan.
Sorry about the scurvy. Has this been an ongoing thing?
Yeah, I tried. Was a pirate for a long time.
We use branded cherries. We use, I think they're called filthy cherries. They're delicious.
Perfect.
Yeah, which makes them really dirty and delicious. Filthy cherries.
And if you're going to drink, you want something filthy.
Yeah, and it just makes them darker. It doesn't have that sugary syrup. It's, you know, they go better in your bourbon anyway because they already have some liquor in there, right?
Yeah. Somebody called in and they want to know if they're not coming into Baptiste and Bottle, which they should, but sometimes you got to drink at home, you know, because you're bedridden or whatever. I don't know why you'd want to, you know, oh, you're Violetta, you're listening to really sad Christmas songs and rethinking your life, and you just want to have a nice bottle of bourbon at home. What's a good bourbon you can recommend for people who want to go, you know, not really crazy expensive, but not, you know, the bottom shelf?
We like Old Forester. That's a really good one that's not too over the top. Koval is actually relatively there. I mean, once you start getting into the higher end, then you know, yeah, they can get very pricey, like the Japanese whiskeys. Actually, I had a rep recently ask me if I wanted to bring in a Japanese whiskey. I had never heard of it. I don't even know what the name of it was. And I said, yeah, sure. How much is it? $725 a bottle.
Wow.
What? There's a bottle for $720. No, thank you.
Yeah, really. Because then at some point you've got, no matter how freely your customers will spend on these wonderful tastings and all and these flights, there's a point where you go, no.
Yeah, that's a little too much. That was a little too much for us, I thought. But I would say definitely for just your home stash, I think Old Forester is a really good one. And then, you know, everybody's got their flavor, I think, that they like. You know, people like Makers. People like
Bullet is a good one.
Bullet is a great one. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else
I like. Buffalo Trace I like.
But Buffalo Trace can get a little bit pricier, too, depending on, you know, if a lot of people have their own barrels.
Right.
So, but Buffalo Trace is a really good one. But a lot of people still just love Maker's Mark.
Yeah.
That's like a
classic.
That's a classic. Yeah. Just a standard. You have to have it in your bar, and you should have it in your bar at home, too.
And that's when a lot of bourbon drinkers, that's the one they start with.
Yeah.
You know, you know, the bright red wax attracts you like a moth. Is there, what do you think has led to bourbon's popularity over the last few years? I mean, because it went from really nothing. It was out there. We all had it. But then all of a sudden it was like, oh, man, everybody's got to drink bourbon.
Well, my personal opinion is that women started getting into bourbon.
Ah. And where the ladies go, the men will follow.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
Right? Would anybody disagree? Yeah, I mean, thank you. It's proven. I've read so many different articles about it and stuff. I mean, women love brown spirits now. Women love bourbon. So I think it's just where it used to be, you know, the old men sipping on bourbon at the bar or whatever, it's now become a very popular, what can I put it in a cocktail? How can I have it on the rocks? Does it taste good with this? Does it taste good with that? And women are trying it and drinking it and loving it. So therefore, of course, it's at the parties and the men are loving it. And happy wife, happy life.
Exactly.
I thought when you said drinking it on the rocks, I thought you meant like an old man with a shotgun on the porch.
No.
That was my perception of drinking bourbon was like 20 years ago. Sure. Do you just cringe when somebody walks in and orders a fancy bourbon with a Coke or a Pepsi? Does it bother you?
Me?
You can say yes.
No, well, no, probably, I would say probably my bartenders, yes.
A Maker's Mark and Coke.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often anymore. But yeah, I mean, there's so many better ways to drink it, and just to drink it on the rocks with a big sphere ice cube in there and just, you know, let it just sit. That's the way to do it, really. But I also like it. I like it in more of a cocktail type atmosphere. So I would rather have it in a martini of some sort that the bartender's created versus just with Coke. Plus, Coke is just not good.
Wesley Gale is here. She is the manager of Baptiste and Bottle, baptisteandbottle.com. They have a new lunch service where you can get $3 martinis made tableside. Oh, we'll talk about that. We got to talk about the menu because you brought some treats and how these foods are paired with bourbon and some, you know, you do specials with those at the later at night, like a happy hour, a later happy hour. So we'll get a lot to talk about. We'll have a party we don't need. Why? It's the Canarbo Wagon.
We're about to fight.
On the Rocon Show with Anna DeVontes, Brian Noonan in for Ro and Anna. They'll be back on Monday. We're talking with our friends from Baptiste and Bottle. Wesley Conger is here. We were using your last name. I just go by the information I'm given.
You're using my middle name.
Your middle name.
Which is fine. I go by all names. Wesley Gale Conger. Now you all know my full name.
And so now people are going to get your info and you'll be hacked.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
People are texting in saying they agree with you on the Koval, that it's wonderful bourbon. And for the cost-conscious consumer, it's available at Costco.
No way!
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, not Baptiste and Bottles.
No, your special
own
blend.
Personal barrel is only available if you come to Baptiste and Bottle on the 20th floor of the Conrad Hotel.
Exactly, which is at 101 East Erie. BaptisteandBottle.com is the website. All right, we talked about everybody stealing my Manhattan. That's all right. Go ahead.
I don't know.
No. Take the Manhattan.
I'm so happy.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No. That's why I don't know what to do.
You know what? I'm sorry. I should have brought four drinks. Five.
There are three people here and two drinks.
I should have brought six drinks.
Kazara, you can have it. You can have the drink. That's all right. Anyway, there's tons of food.
Where was I on this radio
Here's
show that
thing.
I'm doing?
No, listen, we have to talk about the menu because part of the joy of Baptiste and Bottle is while it is a bourbon-centric, the menu is all there to highlight and pair with the bourbon. So tell us a little bit about your chef.
Phenomenal. Chef James Lintelman is our chef. He has been with us since the very beginnings. He worked at Trotters. He worked...
Not too shabby.
Yeah, he's got a really great resume. I mean, he was in Napa. He worked everywhere. He's from Arizona originally. He is one of the most amazing chefs I've ever worked with, and his food is... truly to die for. I mean, everything I eat that he makes is unbelievable.
Is there one type of food that pairs best with bourbon? Or your menu is very extensive from the bar bites to your full menu. Can he make anything go well with bourbon?
He can make anything go well with bourbon, for sure. I mean, we have chicken, we have scallops, we have lamb, we have bison, we have pork, and it all goes well with bourbon.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, he really is into flavors and textures, and it's all about the way things look and the way things feel, and he really uses and utilizes everything. I mean... From our Brussels sprouts, like, he fries some of the leaves, and then he roasts the rest of the Brussels sprout. Nothing gets thrown away in our kitchen, ever. Nothing. I mean, he uses everything. He even made a corn soup over the summertime that he actually took the husks of the corn and burnt them and pressed them into a burnt corn husk oil, and he put it on top of the soup.
Wow.
It was outstanding. Wow. I know, right? Even just like describing it is like...
Listening to you describe it sounds great, but listen, there's kudos for the chef.
Yeah.
Because that...
Major
kudos. The corn soup sounds phenomenal. All the other things you mentioned sound phenomenal.
Yeah.
But... I had the people from the Mac and Cheese Fest in, and they were talking about all the people who were coming in. And guess who won the golden noodle at the Mac and Cheese Fest? Baptiste and Bottle wins. Now, what kind of mac and cheese did you have?
We have a jalapeno, smoked jalapeno and cheese curd mac and cheese.
Wow.
He also puts on top some breadcrumbs with herbs and stuff, but then he makes... Oh, he's going to kill me. He calls it a cheese sablé. I couldn't remember the
name. Cheese sablé.
Cheese sablé, which basically is one of the most amazing Parmesan Cheez-Its you've ever had in your whole life. That's what it tastes like to me.
Wow.
It's outstanding. And he puts all of that on top. So it has oodles and oodles and oodles of cheese. And I was actually at Mac and Cheese Fest with him, which was so fun. We served over 1,000 servings to people that day. I couldn't believe how much mac and cheese people were able to
eat. And this was voted on by the people who were trying it.
It's voted on, so you get voted by judges, but you also get voted for the golden noodle by the people. And we won the golden noodle, which we prominently have displayed.
I was going to say, that's got to be right out near the Maitre d', right front of house.
It's on, we have a beautiful marble top in the center of the restaurant, and I like to keep it polished and keep it on the marble. I'm very proud of it.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a tad disappointed that it's not here with you tonight.
I wanted to bring it. Chef, did you hear that?
It would have looked great.
I hope he's listening.
We would have taken a lovely picture of the mac and cheese with the golden noodle, and yet we'll just have to
envision it. Yes, I can show you a picture, but next time I come, I will bring it, for sure.
You must have the golden noodle.
I will bring the golden noodle. But I did bring you the award-winning mac and cheese so that you could try that, because that's a must-have.
Everybody is salivating. We can't, and you brought some other delightful treats.
Yes, so we want to talk a little bit about lunch, right, because we were talking about our lunch teenies. So we are doing lunch now, new, probably about a month ago or so we started doing lunch. We have an amazing menu. We have what I brought here is a chicken torta, which is fried chicken thighs with like a black bean puree. There's avocado. There's tomato. It's outstanding. We also have a wonderful broccoli falafel on the menu.
Nice.
We have a really delicious delicata salad, delicata squash salad with puffed grains. And it's I never had had delicata squash before until I had it. It's really outstanding. Really, really good. What else do we have? We always, of course, have our burger, which we're known for. One of our burgers is so great. And then I also brought with our, what I would say is the most Baptiste thing that we do, which is our bone marrow.
I'm looking forward to trying
People love our bone marrow. And talk about something that pairs really, really well with bourbon. That's the bone marrow. And the bone marrow has a mixture of bone marrow and oxtail. And it's truly extraordinary. I actually will admit on air that I couldn't stand bone marrow at all. And when Chef said, you know, you have to try the bone marrow, I was like, not really. Okay, I'll try it because you have to try it.
If sure, a chef
says, if a chef gives you something, you absolutely have to try it. Everybody should know that. So I did try it, and I'm obsessed with it. I even my mother, who doesn't want to eat anything, she even loved it when she came into the restaurant because that's how delicious it is.
And there's also, again, for lunch, the $3 martini cart. So don't forget that. Baptiste, you're coming downtown to shop. You're going to be on Michigan Avenue.
We're right
there.
You
might as well go to 101 East Erie to the Conrad Hotel, 20th floor, baptisteandbottle.com. You can call for reservations or make them online, 312-667-6793. They're going to have Christmas Eve. They're going to have Christmas Day. And you're going to have a big New Year's Eve party as well.
Yes, we are. Stay tuned. All those menus should be coming out very, very soon.
Very nice. Well, Wesley Conger, very nice to have you in. Thank you for all of this continued success and congratulations on over a year so far.
Thank you very much.
And listen, Chef, congrats on the golden noodle.
Yes.
More than anything else.
And keep it out in the public so everybody can see it, Chef.
Right, exactly. Don't hog the glory to yourself. I don't understand these chefs. They're very temperamental. They're creative types.
Yeah, I can't say yes or no to that.
BaptisteandBottle.com. Now we got our Christmas groove on. This is Donny Hathaway, right? That's how we do it. That's how we kick it off. We're not sad. We're not crying. We just got our Christmas groove on. And Violetta. Now Violetta's got a groove on. We like grooves.
I like this groove.
See, of course we do.
You know, if you play the Modern Jazz Quartet, England's Carol, or God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
Wow.
You got some good Christmas.
Bob's putting together his Spotify playlist for you. All right. Well, that's very good. You guys have to come down. Baptiste and Bottle left a lot of food. So.
Well, did they know?
Yes, there's
You don't have to tell us
tons
twice.
Tons and tons of food. Delicious. So come down and eat. Sam's already here, so hurry. If that's a hint. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
That's the hint, okay.
Because Sam came down and he's got a look in his eye that says he hasn't eaten since yesterday. So he's ready to go. Oh, speaking of haven't done it since yesterday. Uh-oh.
Five on the Rokan Show. It's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
No need to get so bossy. Get on with it. That's fine. It is the top five at five on the Rokan Show. Brian entered in for Roe and Anna. They'll be back with you on Monday. Let's get this started, shall we? Checking in at
number five.
After being the first Democratic representative to call on Representative John Conyers to leave Congress over sexual harassment settlements, Representative Kathleen Rice appeared on CNN to again take on her colleague.
Because enough is enough. At this point, what I am voicing publicly is what every single private citizen is saying across America. Why are the rules for politicians in Washington different than they are for everyone else? and the list is endless. Compare what happened to Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K., Mark Halperin, all appropriate consequences. And yet once we start getting into the realm of politicians, well, let's get the Ethics Commission into it, and, you know, let's investigate this, you know, and take forever to come up with a conclusion.
There have been calls for, obviously, Representative Conyers to resign, but people are saying the counter-argument is that the congressman is, quote, innocent until proven guilty, end quote.
We're not talking about a court of law here. I have spent my entire career before coming to Washington as a prosecutor. This is not beyond a reasonable doubt. We don't have any legal standard here. We are talking about the court of public opinion. We're talking about holding men accountable for their actions. And a lot of these men against whom these allegations have been made are never going to face their day in court. The victims in these cases are never going to have their day in court. That's a separate issue. Right now, what we're talking about is there going to be any level of accountability?
She makes a good point because, and I know that's the, for the court of law, innocent until proven guilty. That's the presumption. But just like all the people she mentioned who were fired, from Charlie Rose to everybody else, well, if this is the case, then, you know, if the accusations rise to that level, then you gotta go. Because a private company has a right to fire anybody based on their will, you know, your work at will for, in a lot of places. And also, you know, a lot of CEOs and different big contracts come with morals clauses. I know Sam has about 4 morals clauses in his contract. Isn't that correct, Sam?
Nah.
All right. Listen, I know you don't want to get into the specifics of your deal. I don't blame you. But anyway, yeah, you don't. It does seem to take a lot longer with our elected representatives. Let's go. Checking in at
number 4.
Nigel Lithgow, the brainchild behind American Idol, is troubled by misconduct allegations made by Ryan Seacrest's stylist, especially because she allegedly wanted $15 million in return for her silence. The stylist claims Seacrest crossed the line with her between 2007 and 2010, right at the time American Idol was huge. Nigel says the money demand is troubling.
You know, we're going through a time at this moment where we're sorting out a lot of terrible people. But at the same time, I think there are accusations and allegations being made by a number of people that are questionable.
Right.
And all I'm frightened of at the moment is it always used to be you're innocent until proven guilty.
Absolutely.
And now we're living in a world where you're guilty by allegations until you prove yourself innocent.
Yeah, we're not, we do make that conclusion. If you're accused, you're guilty. The woman's lawyer asked for $15 million and threatened to send a press release, which he had prepared, to the media unless he got paid. This, according to multiple sources, the lawyer denies that he demanded $15 million, but does not deny making a money demand. So where do you, all right, so it might not have been $15 million, it might have been $10 million, and I will agree with Nigel on this. It is troubling because all these other women who have accused all these other guys, they're not coming forward. They're not asking for money. They see, you know, they're taking abuse from multiple sides. Not to say that this woman is lying, but when you ask for money that far down the road, it's going to cast a little suspicion on you. You know, because if you've been a victim like this, these victims just want things to be made right. They're not looking for financial compensation. So it's a little crazy. Let's check in at
number 3.
Oh, the iconic song from Frozen, "Let It Go," was shamelessly ripped off from a famous international artist. Say it isn't so. They are now suing everyone even remotely connected with the smash hit. I have just been included in the lawsuit for singing that one refrain of "Let It Go." Horrifying. Jamie Sierra claims in a new lawsuit, "Let It Go" was obviously inspired by his song "Volare." We do have a little "Let It Go" coming up because we have to hear this. Sierra recorded that song in 2008, and it was played globally. Sierra says the striking similarities include note combinations, structures, hooks, melodies, lyrics, themes, production, and textures.
Let it go, let it go. Turn away.
All right, can you play the first one again? Can you play me a little Volar again? Not Volar. Volar, Volar, Let it go. Whoa. And a little more Let It Go. A little Let It Go.
Let it go. Hold on. Let it go. Turn away and
all right, Sam, you're on the jury.
It's a rip-off.
It's a rip-off.
Yeah.
Because, Sarah, you're all about music in your other life, would you say? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, man. Well, he's suing Disney, Idina Menzel, who recorded it for the movie, Demi Lovato. He's suing Mr. Roboto. If Sierra wins, the judgment could be humongous. He wants profits from the movie, the music, the marketing, everything. And he actually wants to play Olaf the Snowman in any further sequels. So it is that is a horrifying, horrifying way to go. It does sound very close, really close.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
But
the fire is so
beautiful outside. People are all over Michigan Avenue outside the Allstate Showcase Studio.
It really is nice outside.
Gorgeous. I can't wait to get out there, run around like Will Ferrell in old school. But that's neither here nor there. Yes, you heard me. Right now, we must continue the top five at five, checking in at
number two.
Number two. In comments to reporters Sunday, Bob Catter, an Australian Parliament member, addressed the topic of gay marriage. It's a subject which apparently ranks pretty low on Catter's priority list, and it ranks very low when compared to, say, I don't know, killer crocodiles. The politician's remarks began smoothly enough as he tried to adopt a posture of ambivalence. Then, in the blink of an eye, Catter's mood turned dark, and he executed one of the clumsiest segues in television history.
Yeah, people are entitled to their sexual proclivities. Yeah, I mean, let there be a thousand blossoms blooming, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, but I ain't spending any time on it, because in the meantime, every 3 months, a person is torn to pieces by a crocodile in North Queensland.
First of all, the beginning sounded like he had no idea what language he was even going to try to speak. Then it goes from, okay, I'm not gonna think about gay marriage because, you know, people are getting killed by crocodiles in Queens. I don't know if you heard of that. Every couple days, there's a crazy crocodile. He's killing people. So, you know, I'm not paying attention to the other thing, which I obviously don't even know how to address because I'm terrified by the whole situation. So I'm going to leave that alone, and then we'll just go. Can you just play the beginning of that again? Because that's the kind of response that if you have any sort of media training, and if you're a politician, they tell you how to, you know, address people. This is not how you do it.
Yeah, people are entitled to their sexual proclivities. Yeah. I mean,
you made me talk about that.
But I ain't spending any time on it because in the meantime, every 3 months...
Every 3 months.
...is torn to pieces by a crocodile in North Queensland.
Every 3 months, a killer crocodile is taking somebody down. By like, don't make me answer that because then my real feelings will come out and that's going to cost me things, my reputation, my election, everything. So I'm just going to, hey, look, an alligator. That's like distracted by the shiny object. All right. And finally, checking in at
number one.
Oh, conservative firebrand Tomi Lahren makes number one here on the top five of five. She's made a name for herself in the last couple of years. She became a viral sensation for her final thoughts on The Blaze, a conservative website, and is now best known for melting snowflakes, in quotes. She has since moved on to become, she's since moved on because she was fired from The Blaze because she dared to take a stand of being pro-choice. Oh, my goodness. We can't have you saying that if you're on The Blaze. Out you go, Tomi. Well, now she's on Fox News. The website Super Deluxe has turned the outspoken conservative to an 80s pop star. The style of the song is a clear homage to the likes of Tiffany or Cyndi Lauper.
Hey, ladies,
Enjoy your lunch. There you go. So Kassara's pulling the top 5 of 5. Here's a little behind the music for you. And all I hear is hysterical laughter coming from Kassara. And like, oh, this has got to be funny.
So, it's so good.
It is hilarious. And those are her actual quotes. They didn't write this song. That's her actual quotes.
Yeah, they just chopped it up.
Yeah, that made it very nice. So that's Tomi Lahren. If you want to go to Super Deluxe, you can...
The song is a hit. It was doing really well on Twitter.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It was a viral sensation.
It is. It's a good song.
Well, she's a piece of work, that one. She definitely is. She knows how to create conversation.
I want to see like what she responds with to this song.
Well,
she's
smart, she does a dance video. She embraces it and she just, you know, creates her own little Tomi dance.
Yeah.
Like a dap and a, you know.
Whatever. She'll skyrocket even more.
Maybe she twerks. What do you think about that, Violetta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that was weird. We're not talking about that anymore. Okay, well, then we wrap it up.
The top 5 at 5.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop.
Brian Noonan in for Rokan at Anna DeVellante's Friday night. That means at 6 o'clock on the Rokan Show, we always bring some wonderful live music into the studio for your enjoyment. And tonight is no different. Tonight I am joined by Chicago native Todd Kessler, who has a brand new album out. The album is called About Memory. ToddKesslerMusic.com is where you can get all the information. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's exciting because a mutual friend of ours, mm-hmm. Mike Mangione, recommended you, and I listened to your stuff the last couple of days, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
It's very cool to have you in. U of I.
I did.
And you majored in music composition. You've been a musical guy your whole life.
Yeah, I was. I majored in music theory and composition, but I've been playing guitar since I was 12 and writing songs since about the same time. And then, you know, was a singer all through elementary school and played trumpet a little bit.
Okay.
So, yeah, always did it.
And I hate to ask this, but people always do, and it's got to be a hard question. How would you describe what you do? You know, what kind of music do you make?
I think the easiest way to say is folk singer songwriter.
Okay.
And if you just say singer songwriter, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Folk Americana. You want to put those in there too.
And you had a band. You were with a band for a long
yes.
time. And it's one of those kind of behind the music stories, but not as dramatic, right?
No, nowhere near.
It just was a matter of people getting older and having responsibilities, right?
Yeah, you know. Well, I have 2 kids now, and my drummer, who married our second vocalist, they had a kid, and then our bass player moved to Nashville, and our guitar player quit, and it was just like, this is probably a good time to end this.
Sure, because it's hard, you know, being on the road is hard when you're single.
Yeah.
It's then exponentially harder when you're married. And
yes.
then once you have kids, forget about it. The kids don't care that you're playing some bar in Nashville.
No.
They want dad home
yeah.
or mom home.
Yeah.
So it gets tough. But then you decide, all right, I'm going to keep, this is my passion. This is what I do. I'm a singer.
Exactly.
You got to keep going.
Right. And I had a solo career before, career in quotes. I had a solo career before, I started the band. Excuse me. And so I had these batch of songs that I had been working on for a while, and they never fit with what the band was doing. Some of these songs I wrote like 10 years ago
okay.
that made it on the new album. And then just for whatever reason, they never fit the project that I was doing. And so when the band kind of took a break, indefinite hiatus, if you will, I was like, you know, I'm going to record these songs.
And how, when you're trying to craft an album, are you looking for a story arc? Are you just looking for a tonal?
There's different factors for sure. For me, all these songs kind of had a similar kind of theme. It's not a concept album per se. However, all of these songs kind of focused around the idea of memory.
Yes.
And then also the other consideration is, of course, like, do they sound well together?
Okay.
Do they make sense together? And so it's a number of different factors. I didn't always think about that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it was more like, okay, here's 10 songs that I have, and I'm going to record them, and that's it.
What made you change the way you approached it?
Life is really expensive. And so now that there's more responsibilities, I really have to choose my make my choices wisely.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so I have this amount of money and this amount of time and this amount of, I can do this many songs, so I've got to pick the right ones.
And when you're looking at this, it's got to be tough too, because with downloading and stuff, people don't really buy albums all the time. They're going to pick and choose, you know,
right,
two or three songs off the
right
new album.
I sell a lot of CDs at shows.
Okay, sure. Oh,
people
yeah
still buy CDs at shows, which is somewhat surprising to myself, because I don't have a CD player in my car anymore.
Well, you don't?
I bought a new car, and after I bought it, I realized there was no CD player in it.
I heard that the newer cars are not.
But you know, it gets better, because now I can't hoard CDs.
There you go.
However, there, I mean, there's money to be made in streaming and licensing, sure, and so there's other avenues. But yeah, people don't buy albums like they used to.
Do you take that into consideration, or you're looking at crafting an entire
album? No, I definitely take that into consideration. So part of the reason I decided to record these songs in this way was because I wanted these songs to be competitive with the other songs that are being licensed for commercials, film, and television.
Okay, and what goes into something like that?
So for me, it was I was working with a specific producer, and we knew we wanted the songs to like have that warm quality, sort of cinematic. The sound quality had to be top notch, okay, which was very important. I hear some artists say, we're just going to like do something that sounds kind of good just so we get it out there. And I'm like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah, that seems a little lazy and short-sighted.
Make it sound good. So that was like one of the big goals with this record, was these songs need to compete with the songs that are getting played commercially, yeah, whether that means on the radio or in licensing opportunities for film and TV. And so that was a big consideration for this record.
So back in the day, you know, people, oh, if you license your music to commercials or anything, you're selling out.
Yes. And now the thing is,
who's
going to pay me? I would love to sell out.
Yes, because as you said, life is expensive.
Right.
And if you've created something, why not give it the broadest exposure you can have?
Exactly.
Well, let's do a song. So this is the first single from the new album. The new album by Todd Kessler is called About Memory. And this, the first single, I really enjoy. It's called Old Fashioned Way. So I'm vamping so Todd can get over and enjoy it. But ToddKesslerMusic.com is where you can get all the information that you need. You can pick the album up there. You can read about Todd, see tour dates and everything else. So I will now get out of the way and let Todd do his thing.
Jagged metronome of typewriter keys. Simple thought brings you to me. I'm thankful every day. So glad I found you the old-fashioned way. In a time when we want it all, everything so fast, but it takes no time to call. To slow down, oh, I pray. I'm so glad I found you the old fashion. I'll write to you with ink from a pen. Feel the weight as the words sink in. My mind moves too fast for my head. While I still can. It was so dark that warm summer night. I much prefer it to the bright blue light. Glad I found you the old-fashioned way. I'll write to you with ink from a pen.
Beautiful. Todd Kessler, that is the first single from the new album, About Memory, ToddKesslerMusic.com. We'll hear more from Todd, more conversation, and more music. That's music from Todd Kessler. That is Only Love Is Real, the first track on his new album, About Memory. We're going to talk more to Todd on the other side of the news, but right now I want to make sure we get at least one more song in. And the letter, right? It's the letter, and this one is this one also off the new album, About Memory.
Yeah, this is the second single.
All right, the second single. So let's hear it.
Cool.
Stairs to the attic as I waited with bated breath. The memory so clear to me still, though I traveled so far to forget. Want to lose myself in the city, cut my hair thinking I could erase. Every woman I saw was Delilah, every corner I would see your face. City. I couldn't find what I sought. A holy war with myself I battled. My own demons had finally won.
From the new album, About Memory. Is there someone that, did that really happen? Do you have a letter that you kept near your heart for a long time?
No. I have to break it to you. No.
Well, no.
That one is not all about.
I was going to say, because some of them, I mean.
Some of them are, and some of them very much aren't.
Okay. And are the ones that aren't easier to write than the ones that are, or vice versa? Or does it matter?
To me, it doesn't matter. So when the songs that are not about me, I always put myself in that place. I always like put something of myself in there. So there's elements of of me. However, the story of the song is not mine.
Okay,
it's very made up.
What about the first one, the old-fashioned way?
The first one is kind of an homage to my wife and I.
Beautiful.
Albeit a reaction to a lot of friends giving me their Tinder horror stories.
Ah.
And me being like, oh, my God, I'm so glad enough to do that.
That's a great way to, you know, you take things from out there and you put them all together.
So that was like my reaction. I was like, how do I make that my story? And then so I kind of like thought back to the beginning of
meeting.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Very nice. Todd Kessler's a new album about memory. Go to ToddKesslerMusic.com. We're going to talk to Todd a little bit more and hear another song on the other side of the news. Somebody wanted to know, is that a baritone guitar? I don't even know if that's a thing. Is that a thing?
Guitar is a thing. That is not a baritone guitar. I tuned my guitar a whole step down for the first song to get that kind of vibe.
Yeah, that was you used the term evocative. Melancholy, even though it's not a sad song. It's a song about, hey, this is great. We met this way and everything is wonderful.
Sure, but you think about you know, thinking about memories and old home movies, and it's got kind of that, it just brings those emotions.
Yes, very nice. The song, The Things We Do for Love, the new album about memory. You can get all the information on Todd at ToddKesslerMusic.com. We'll hear some more live music. How long does an album like this take for you to put together?
I'm traditionally a slow worker in the studio. So I went out to L.A. and we had a week, and we did all the basic tracking in a week.
Okay.
And that's drums, bass, vocals, most of the like the acoustic guitar,
that's
all the
fast
backing vocals. It was very fast. And then there was like 5 months where nothing happened. Mostly because I worked with two producers, and the scheduling between the two of them, they just can never get together.
Okay.
And so eventually we were like, all right, we gotta change course a little bit. So the main producer, Mark Nelson, who's from Valparaiso, Indiana, actually, ended up coming back to the Midwest for last winter, rented a house on Lake Michigan right at the dunes.
Nice.
And so I would go there and we would do some work. We booked some time at Gravity Studio in Wicker Park for a day to do some extra stuff. And then we did a lot of stuff, a lot of things remotely. So, you know, we would send tracks to the pedal steel player I use in Nashville. Or we needed a couple extra electric guitar parts, send it off to a guy in L.A.,
okay.
Things like that. So it ended up taking, I want to say, from when we recorded to when we got the final mixes back, it was like 13 months.
Jeez, that doesn't seem like that long a time.
No, I mean, but when the plan was to, hey, let's do it in a week in L.A.
Right.
to 13 months.
Sure, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I got you.
I guess my last record took 2 years, so.
Oh, did it really?
That was pretty fast.
So this is half the time. So that's not bad at all. What are the challenges when you're looking for a producer? Because you said you use two producers. Well, first of all, why do you need different producers on one album? And what are the challenges to find the right people to work with you? What are you looking for?
So, for different genres of music, it's kind of a different thing. You know, pop musicians, they might have a different producer on each track.
Right.
You know, this is kind of a long story, but we've got some time, right?
Yeah, we got a couple of weeks.
So back in 2011, my band did this thing. It was Lakeshore Television, like the public TV station up in Northwest Indiana. They had the show called Live from the Alley, and it was this guy, Mark Nelson, had a studio called The Alley, and it was like bands came in, they did like live interview and performance, and then it was played on the public television station.
Oh, nice.
And so that was his studio, Mark Nelson. And so we stayed in touch after that, and we would just be in touch over the years, like, hey, I'd love to work with you again. And I'd be like, oh, I'm working on an album with a different producer right now. Oh, maybe we'll come in to do this single. Oh, that's not going to work. Whatever. But right around the same time that I decided to make this record, back in 2015, he called again. Was like, hey, what's up? I was like, wow, it's weird you called. I like literally just decided I need to do this record. And we just started talking, and we were on the phone for 11 months. Trading songs back, and I would send him a demo. He'd chop it up, send it back to me. He's like, I think it should go this way. And then, so finally, then in March 2016, I met him in LA where he was living at the time. And
very nice.
Yeah. But so for two producers, he's like, I want to work with this guy who I just worked with on a project. He'd be perfect for this because he's a really fast engineer and an insane guitar player. So it was kind of like, Mark was good at one thing, Rand Jackson, the other guy, he's good at other stuff. Let's put our heads together.
And it's got to come down right to them getting you and getting your voice and what you want to do, right? That's the bottom line.
Right, and they did. Okay. It was a perfect match for the studio.
Now, people may be thinking to themselves, Todd Kessler, I've heard that name. Where did I see him on TV? Yes, you were on The Voice.
I was.
And how did that go?
It was a great experience for me. I loved it.
Did you submit a video? Did you have to go to one of these cattle?
I waited in line in McCormick Place.
Did you really?
I did.
Oh my goodness. And so what's that process like? Because that's got to be completely different. Is it one where, because you're a guy who had a career before that, so yeah. Are you like, hey man, I know how to do this.
I mean, I try to not have an ego with things like that. I went in, I did the audition, I got the call back, and then they were like, okay, you're considered for the next round. We'll call you if we want you. Get the call. You're coming out for the next audition. So they fly you out. And then they send you home. And then it's like, okay, you're going to get a call in the next few days if you make the blind auditions.
Okay.
Got the call. Go back out 3 weeks for the blind auditions.
Wow.
I made a team. Go home for a week.
You were on CeeLo's team.
CeeLo's team. Okay. Then back for the next round for 3 weeks. And then and then I didn't make it after that. But, no, it was great. I went into it with no preconceived notions. I purposely, they're like, you know, you can play your guitar on stage, but it's called The Voice, not the guitar.
Right.
And so I made a very clear decision going into it that I'm not going to play my guitar for these songs.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to, like, take that barrier away.
Okay.
Because it's somewhat a shield.
Sure.
For singer-songwriters. Like, you can hide behind your guitar.
Yeah.
And so I took it away and was like, okay, now I really have to focus on the performance aspect, and I ended up learning a lot.
Oh, yeah.
From CeeLo and then Rob Thomas, who was our mentor.
Okay.
I learned a lot.
And are they telling you, listen, this is the song you need to do. We've listened to your voice. We know, we kind of know what you will sound like. This is the one
they know kind of what you're going for, and then they have a set number of songs they can choose from because of songs that are cleared with the record companies and things like that. So for the first few rounds, they definitely choose your songs.
Okay.
But they try to match you.
Yeah.
It's not like they weren't having me do Michael Jackson or something.
But you don't have a lot of input in that. So where does it flip?
I didn't make it far enough to have that decision, but I actually think it was in the next round. Like, if I would have made it to the next round, I would have started to have a lot more input.
And do they ever let you do your own songs? Like, even at the very late rounds?
A few seasons, what they've done is they've had, for the finalists, finalists get to have their own song. If they wrote a song, I think they could do it.
Okay.
Or maybe it was a song written for them.
Okay.
But no. There's too many legal hoops to jump through with that kind of stuff.
Right, and then God forbid somebody comes on with a song that they kind of borrow.
And the last thing you want to do is, like, you know, give every ounce of ownership over to
a
record company that may not represent you at the end anyway.
Right. But overall you had a good experience.
I did, yeah.
And when that was over, That's gotta help with, like, gigs and things.
Oh my God.
Millions of people have seen you. Now you're a name.
It helped exponentially.
Very nice.
Oh yeah.
And where now that you you're here and you're gonna get, like, you know, four or five people listen.
Amazing.
No, that's kidding. No, it's great to have
four or five new fans.
No, there's gonna be more than that. More than that. Especially from what's coming in on the text and everything else. Where can people see you? Because, you know, now they're hearing you and they're like,
yes,
we gotta go to Todd Kessler Music and get the new album about memory. But
my next gig is at Martyrs on January 13th.
Very nice.
I'll be joining my friend's band called Catch. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary and CD release show, and I'm gonna be supporting them on the bill with my band.
Very nice.
January 13th. At Martyrs, I think the show's at 7:30.
All right. And they can find that out at...
They can find that info at toddkestermusic.com. But if you go right now, it won't be up there yet because I was going to update my website.
I was going to say, I saw that the, you know, 2018 coming soon.
Like with Thanksgiving, and I just forgot to update my website, but I'm going to do that tonight.
But people are listening, and they will go there, and they will get all the information. So,
yes.
And that's a couple weeks away.
It's like a month and a half.
Yeah, so we'll give them some time. It'll be fine. All right, now this last song that you're going to do has special meaning to you because you wrote it for somebody special or some people who were special?
Well, actually, it was one person at the time.
Okay.
So. When my oldest son was 6 months old, I almost said babysitting. I was parenting. I was parenting. Because fathers parent, they don't babysit.
I'm still from the age where fathers babysit.
No, it's fine. No, I was at home. I put him down for a nap. Because I'm home with the kids a few days a week. And I was just like, man, this kid's got it so easy. He sleeps, he eats.
He poops.
And that is it.
Yeah.
And he poops. And I was waxing poetic on that idea, and I was like, kid, just wait.
Now, your older son's 4 and a half.
He's 4 and a half.
Does he know what dad does? Does he get...
Yeah, I mean, they've seen my videos on YouTube, and they've seen my voice performance on YouTube, and they've seen me play, like, 1,000 times.
Is that really you in the old-fashioned way video? Is that real? Are those real old movies?
No, they're not. Well, at the beginning and the end.
Okay, that's what I did.
The beginning and the end, okay. Right. I've definitely had a lot of people be like, is that your parents from the 70s? I'm like, no, but, you know, it's a great video.
Yeah,
it's a
really great video. That's why
it really worked.
It seemed very, you know, well, it seemed real, and now you've crushed me. But
sorry.
That's okay, Todd. That's all right. Listen, I'm used to
having the emotion is real.
Destroyed. The emotion is real. We heard that song earlier, but now we are going to wrap up with this song that you wrote for your then-infant son, Someday You'll Be a Man. Again, toddkestlermusic.com, the new album about memory. Pick it up everywhere, and then keep going to the website and find out the dates. We're going to go to Martyrs in January to hear Todd. So this one, we're strapping on the harmonica, which is always that's a look that I always love, Todd. I love when a guy comes out and he's got the guitar and the harmonica. It's a whole big thing.
I'm glad you like it and you don't like it, because some people have the opposite.
Oh, really?
Some people are just like, I don't like it.
Yeah, some people are goofs.
You're right.
Stay that way, because son, someday you'll be a man. You are young, stay that way, because son, someday you'll be a man. So sleep while you can, drink while you can, smoke while you can, because someday you'll be a man. To pay, you're gonna wish you stayed that way. Someday you'll be a man. You ain't got no bills to pay, you're gonna wish you stayed that way. Someday you'll be a man. So sleep while you can, drink while you can, smoke while you can, because someday you'll be a man. If there's one thing I could tell you, it'd be stay on while you can, because someday you'll be a man. Someday you'll be a man. Sleep while you can, drink while you can, smoke while you can, because someday you'll be a man. If there's one thing I could tell you, it'd be stay on while you can, because someday you'll be a man.
Very nice. Todd Kessler, what do you think, folks, on Michigan Avenue? Everybody. There we go. That's Todd Kessler, folks. You can go to ToddKesslerMusic.com, pick up his new album. It's called About Memory. That was terrific.
Thank you.
Yeah, just stay right there.
And don't let anyone tell you harmonica's not cool.
Who would tell him that, Viola?
Well, you were saying you're picking on him with the harmonica.
No. I said I liked it.
Oh, okay.
I said I liked it. He said some people don't like the look. I said I liked it. Bob Kessler would come down. Bob's a harmonica player, and if I ever insulted a harmonica, he would come down and punch me right in the throat. He's a harmonica cat. I don't know what the what is the term for a harmonica player? Harmonica player.
I thought it was just harmonica player.
That's what I thought too, but you never know.
We could be fancy.
No, Violetta. I'm all for it. I thought it was terrific. Now, when you're what do you call a harmonica player, Bob?
Harmonicist.
A harmonicist?
Is that for real?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
See, you come here, you perform, and you learn things.
Amazing.
It's all about edutainment here.
I'm over there, you know.
I know. That's we were trying to figure out
we're
if
not,
you guys
we're
not related.
I think we are. Right. I mean, other than we're kindred spirits musically,
right on.
Dare I say. I don't want to make assumptions there. But
this is becoming awkward and uncomfortable, and I enjoy it.
We're not blood relatives.
All right. Yeah. Very nice. Well, Todd, it was a pleasure meeting you. Continued success. Everybody go to ToddKesslerMusic.com. Pick up the new album. It is called, of course, About Memory. And someday now has your son heard this song?
Yes.
And even at 4.5, does he know it was about him?
I think I told him.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't listening, though.
I think when he does become a man, that's going to be, it's going to mean a lot. So
I think so, too.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle-belling and memories.
Well, show is drawing to a close. It has been,
sorry about that.
That's all right. But I want to first, thanks Rowan Anna for letting me sit in and keep your chair warm. Thank you, Cassara, for your wonderful work the last couple of days. Violetta, always a pleasure. Bob Kessler, Sam Panionovich, yesterday Andy Mazur was here. Thank you for listening and getting involved in the program. It is always fun. I will talk to you Sunday night. This is, this is exciting for me to say. After the news, Sam is hosting what could quite possibly be the shortest show in the history of WGN Radio.
Not true. I had a 4-minute show once. It was 3 minutes and 57 seconds. Northwestern went to triple overtime.
Did you just make sounds? Did you actually speak?
I had John Cass booked, and then I had, I can't remember who else I had booked. And I kept saying,
Cass doesn't come on for under 6 minutes.
No, I told Cass, because the show was supposed to be from 8 to 10. The Cats played at 6. It was a holiday. They went to triple overtime. The game ended at 9:30 or something like that. And then post game was 9:47. I got control at like 9:54. It was 4 minutes, including breaks.
How much show prep did you do for that?
A lot.
A lot,
that
sure.
was one of the first chances I had to actually host that wasn't high school football, which we'll be talking about coming up. There are 2 games final, 2 games yet to be determined. One's in the third quarter right now. Another one tonight, and then 4 more tomorrow. So we'll talk to Mike Clark, who's with the Tribune family. He's the lead preps writer. We'll just get a scene for what happened today in DeKalb, and then what's going to happen tomorrow, some predictions. But, yeah, that was like my first crack. I was so jacked. And
I just want to yell at the Cats. This is my shot. Well, listen, as Hamilton said, do not throw away your shot.
Whether I opened up the mics and said, this is the best 4 minutes I'm going to possibly give you.
That's it. You've condensed it down. It's like when you're making a nice stock. You have a lot in the pot, and it boils down to the best stuff.
I had Rob Martira in news. Oh, Jill Erchek was in traffic. I was excited because I'm following your lead. I like to involve the cast.
Sure. That's a good group right there.
I was pumped. And then it was like 4 minutes.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, did it fly by? Or did it feel like forever?
Felt like an hour and a half.
It flew by.
That's good. Well, tonight,
I feel like I have to go back on after this break.
If we get to the news fairly on time, you're going to give
yourself
10 minutes.
Take your time.
No. I don't want to take away. Listen.
You don't want to sabotage my 7 minutes?
No, you give the guy 10 minutes. I wanted to take.
Violetta,
come on. The guy's got 7 minutes.
I wanted to play that sad Christmas song, and Cass was like, nah, we don't want to hear it. So
no, it's,
I would take that over my 7 minutes.
Because why would you end this amazing show on a super sad?
No, we're not doing that. No. We're ending on a high note. We brought the heat for 2 days. Now we go home.